Joe Rogan Podcast. Check it out.
The Joe Rogan Experience.
Train by day, Joe Rogan Podcast by night, all day.
And but then you thinking like that, that's like,
that's the curse of being successful, though, right? Like, people lean on you.
I'm successful, but on my own terms.
Yeah, but that's still successful.
Yeah, you but
you're on your own terms is great.
Because, see, my shit was the music industry. And the music industry is one of those type of situations where you can be as creative as you want to be, but does that make you money? You know? So you have this whole fucking, like, angel and devil on your shoulder. Like, make a hit song or be creative as you want to be.
Right, you know what I'm saying? Do what you want to do or do what you think is going
to
sell.
And my whole entire career, I just did what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And but at this point, after 10 years, I sit back sometime and I think about, like, damn, did I make a mistake? Because, you know, it's still a lot of people in my family that struggle. And it's like, fuck, you know?
Well, but
if I just didn't care about being Danny Brown and being so cool and trying to make the most experimental music I could possibly make, fucking just don't give a fuck. Make that fucking hit song.
But isn't that you, though?
But I can do it.
You could do both.
That's the whole thing of what makes you a great artist. See, like a person like Jay-Z, he does both.
Does both. Yeah.
I don't know if I can do both because it's such a drastic change from what I love as underground music.
Yeah.
And what is commercially and considered to be pop music is such a drastic. It's such a fucking, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know if I can ever make it. It's like with Patrice O'Neal, would he've ever been a fucking, like, you know what I'm saying? Commercial, like, stand-up comic.
He
would. You
get
what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I think he would have been.
At this point in age?
Yeah, we would have forced it through. Yeah.
And
he would have made it.
That's the one person that I look up to.
He was amazing.
So I look up him so much. And
everybody would have forced it through. Like, even if he couldn't get on a television show, even if nothing ever happened for him like that, we would have all had him on podcasts.
Because even with my rap career and just how I look at, like, making music, I look at him as, like, a super inspiration. Like, it was my last album, which was called You Know What I'm Saying, which was actually from Tom and Christina, because they had this bit. and you know, niggas be like, you know what I'm saying? You know, even me, I say you know what I'm saying, like, a lot, like a motherfucker. But before that, the name of the album was The Patrice O'Neal Theory.
Oh.
Because Patrice O'Neal, he had this theory where he talk about, like, men has periods. But we don't necessarily have periods. We just want to fuck another bitch. So every time you're mad at your girl, like, and she, like, all on you, and she, like, my woman is beautiful. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, but you, like, bitch, you still it because you just want another taste of something. You get what I'm saying? And when you get that, like it's to the point where if you've been so faithful for so long, you're like, I'll fuck a homeless bitch on the corner at this point. You get what I'm saying? But if I did that, it's going to make me love you so much more. Like, I won't have this attitude with you, this whole attitude I got with you. You think, well, you're like, why are you so mad? Why are you acting like this? Because I need some new pussy. And that's all it is. But
the Patrice O'Neal theory.
That's the Patrice O'Neal theory.
He had a lot of great theories.
But I would say, listen, I'm going to say this because I love my girl at home. I know she probably listens to this. I love you, baby. But no, I'm out of that. I don't have that. My dick don't get hurt that like that no more. I'm 40 years old. It's like, come on, this motherfucker has been burnt out. They've been hitting this motherfucker. Bitch been speed bagging his dick. This dick been getting speed bagged for the last 10 years. So yeah.
When did you decide to do this podcast that you're doing with your mom's house? Because it's hilarious.
No, the thing was is that Uncle Joey. Like, it started with
He started? Like, you and him doing a podcast?
You want me to bring it? Because it goes back into me just being a rapper and just me being on some rap shit, and I was on tour. I was on tour for a long part of time, and being on tour, you get bored, and I'm a gamer, so I buy a lot of video games, and guess what? I bought UFC. Before the good UFCs. This is whatever UFC video game. So I'm playing that, and you were the fucking announcer on it. So I'm playing that, and, you know, and you're the announcer, and now I'm on tour. And then I guess, I don't know, some type of way I was watching UFC of some shit. And then I seen you on there, and it was like, oh, this the nigga from the video game. Is this not hilarious to you? Like, this is how I got up on this whole shit. So I'm like, this the nigga from the video game, Joe Rogan. So then I start listening to Joe Rogan shit, and then from seeing Joe Rogan shit, I seen Uncle Joey on there. And I say Uncle Joey on there, and I seen that, and I just start going through the fucking the rabbit hole of y'all shit. Like even the shit of fucking fucking Red Band dumbass always talking about fucking Olive Garden and shit like that. Like like the fucking like
Olive Garden and butthole.
Yeah, like the Justin TV day. Like I will credit you to fucking up my fucking music career in some sense. I will say that. Because it got to the point where all I ever did in my life was listen to music. Like I was one of those people where I would like be like, man, people don't really listen to music. They just listen to music in their cars or when they got function or something. Like I'm
not
the type of person
down,
that listen to music 24/7 a day. Whatever new, whatever. But then I started getting into podcasts and listening to your shit and doing that and all that So just being into podcasting and listening to y'all shit, you know, fucking with Uncle Joey and all that shit. And then I got into why I made shit, listening to they shit. And then, you know, just Tom hit me up, like, come through. But when Tom hit me up, he didn't know how much of a fanboy I was of this shit. So when I came through, I was hitting him with all this shit, you know, all the fucking why I made shit, like, you know, straight real mommy shit. You get what I'm saying? Like
jeans.
Yeah, so the jeans. So that's what happened. The jeans, the fan base of the whole shit fucked with me. They knew I was, like, real in the shit. So they embraced me with that shit. So Tom would always hit me up and talk about it. He'd be like, man, because me and Tom would, like, FaceTime and, like, talk to each other. Like, some real friend shit. He ain't had nothing to do with no business or nothing else. And Tom would be like, man, you should do a podcast. I'm telling you, you'll be good at doing podcasts.
I'm glad he told you that.
And this and that. But my whole shit was with him. And I was like, man, no. Being good at podcasts is good, but the actual production of it, which make podcasts good. Because I can set up a fucking camera and a fucking microphone in my bedroom and start talking shit in front of the camera, but is that going to be good?
Yeah. Danny, it would be good.
But I was like,
no. Listen, all of it's good. It just captures you. It's nice to have great production, and the way they do it at your mom's house is awesome. You have like a real professional studio. I went over there and visited.
Yeah,
It's beautiful. The whole setup is beautiful.
But that's my whole shit. I was like, I'm not going to do it unless it's like that.
But you could do it on FaceTime. It doesn't matter.
I know, but
You're just good at it. You because you're a fan of podcasts for so long. I think you're probably talking back in your head.
Yeah, like it gotta be big. It gotta be like it gotta look professional. It can't be it can't be fucking. But see, this is the double edged sword with that with me, because what I loved about podcasting was like I was almost like a fly on the wall against seeing like friends just hanging out drinking and talking shit.
Right.
And now when you watch podcasts and it's so fucking overproduced. Heard that these niggas is writing scripts now.
No.
I swear I heard some shit like that where they said these niggas got scripts and they looking at them on a teleprompter.
You know,
and they sitting there doing podcasts. They doing scripted podcasts. Podcasts is supposed to be like you just a fly on the wall sitting there in the room with a couple friends and you hearing them talking shit and you like, that's why we love fucking Rogan so much. You get what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
In the beginning stages, now, this is some real shit. Nah, this is, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But in the beginning stages of the shit, like, no, we're a fly on the wall. But the point of that has turned to what media is in real life now. It makes so much sense when you got fucking, we went through reality TV so much. And now, motherfuckers that play video games watch other motherfuckers that play video games for fun. You get
Danny,
what I'm saying?
I had a bit a long time ago about a cameraman from a reality TV show getting his own reality TV show. So the reality TV show was about a cameraman following around a cameraman on a reality TV show. And then I go, but then people are going to go, well, what about the cameraman behind the cameraman? And then they're going
to
do a cameraman show on that.
Me and my fucked up brain, I would love to see that show, but it had to be like the niggas that shoot porn, though. I want to know about the porn cameraman.
Porn cameraman?
Like,
yeah.
Because he a little creepy, too. He a little creepy. Mm. How you get that job? You just looking for it? Because I feel like cameraman is such a vast. You nigga, you shooting for the NBA or you shooting for the motherfucking anal projections? What are you doing? You get what I'm saying? So you picking your poison.
Yeah, you could be a professional and work for both.
I mean, no, at the end of the day, what I will say that's good about the cameraman shit is that just like everything else with DJing, everything with that comes with the internet, everything or even like production equipment, all this shit has become so easy to use now. Right. But back in the day, it wasn't really like, I couldn't go on YouTube and find an instruction manual to how to use an MPC.
You know, Jamie's a audio engineer, like a real audio engineer who went to school for it.
Yeah, I did go to school. There was no YouTube for it. And then, like, the year I graduated, YouTube got invented. And
you can just learn all this shit on YouTube at that point.
How much of what you learned in school is still valid?
It's hard to say because some of the computer programs, they don't edit for you, but they handle a lot of the shit that was difficult.
Oh, yeah?
You want to hear the fucked up part that I think about is that it's better in this sense? It's because you get a lot of different point of views. Like, if I'm a nigga that I'm trying to learn some shit on YouTube, it's a topic that has a lot of different people that's talking about it. I'm taking the best parts of or whatever identifies with me. I'm like, oh, I'm figuring that shit out and doing that like that instead of just learning from one person.
Yeah.
I've joined a Muay Thai gym.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, man.
Where at?
I suck. Shouts out to all my boys at fucking Old Guard Muay Thai. Shout out to my boy Spencer, my boy Dave, all them motherfuckers. Nice. Chantel, all them. Yeah, no, I suck. I actually suck.
That's okay.
Everybody
sucks in the beginning.
No. I'm chilling out right now. I'll probably go back in a few months.
Yeah? Yeah. But you were doing it?
No, I've been like three, four months hard.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's good for you, man. It's great to get tension out, too.
Yeah, but it's one of those things, you know. Yeah, but I didn't know that part, though, because I was doing privates.
Yeah.
And that was fun, you know, learning shit.
Privates are good.
Then I was like, you know what, let me go to real class. Start going to real class.
Oh, and sparring with people and shit?
No, pad holding.
Oh.
My nigga. I ain't signed up for that job.
Holding the pads for people's bullshit.
I ain't signed up for that job. So I haven't been back. I actually haven't been back. No, I mean, going through a lot of shit. I didn't. You know why I haven't been back to Muay Thai? I don't even talk. But well, I guess I'm talking about it. But no, we was in class one day. Shouts to my nigga Spencer, man. We was in class one day, and then this nigga was like, "Oh, you know what it is? Because I didn't have no Muay Thai shorts." So I was just like, you know, I was wearing my normal, like,
regular shorts.
I'm wearing, like, Gucci shorts and shit. The whole gym looking at me crazy. But so, like, I'm going to buy some Muay Thai shorts. And you know me, I'm a nigga. I'm going to buy some fly shit. So I bought the shiniest Muay Thai shorts I could find. The motherfuckers look like, you know what I'm saying, look like gold. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, these bitches fire, though. You know what I'm saying? I got the fire Muay Thai shorts.
What do they look like? You have a picture of them?
I mean, I could show you.
Show me a picture. Yeah,
the gold shiny Muay Thai shirt. But yeah. I showed to the Muay Thai. But I think he felt like me. You know what that made me feel like? It was like when a nigga suck at basketball, and then he show up with the whole Jordan fit on,
right,
with the Jordans and the Iverson sleeve and all that. So I felt like that's what Muay Thai was looking at me like at that point. But I didn't have no Muay Thai clothes. So this is my first time buying some Muay Thai shit. I'm an ill nigga. I love fashion. So I'm going to buy some fly shit. What you want me to buy? Some normal fake ass shit? So during the class,
yeah, they
nigga
gotta
was
let
like,
that go.
Yeah. So one of the teachers, she was like, you know, you got these shiny ass shirts on. You worried about the wrong shit. And I thought to myself, look. And I thought
to myself,
why would
anybody care? It's fucking shorts.
But I thought to myself, and I was like, you know what? You right. I am worried about the wrong shit. Why am I here playing Bruce Leroy with y'all niggas, and I got to put a fucking album out? So I haven't been to Muay Thai since. I've been at the crib trying to finish my... When I get back... And I thought about it, too, because the way it started is because I would always talk about on my podcast how I got my ass whooped before. And he hit me up and was like, yo, you tired of getting your ass whooped? Come to Muay Thai class. And not necessarily me. I'm just trying to get in shape. I just don't want to, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to be fat, you know.
But that's a good thing for getting in shape. That burns
the funnest thing to get in shape. Hitting pads and all this shit.
Yeah, you're learning something.
It was great.
It's fun and it's tiring.
No, it was great. It was actually great.
Yeah, it's like the best way to get a cardio in because it's actually fun to do. Whereas, like, a lot of cardio is just suck. It's just getting through the suck, like an assault bike.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just getting through suck.
No. I was actually having a great time. I was having fun. Yeah. So I haven't been. I haven't ever since that episode. So I haven't
got to go back. And they got to let that go. They got to let that shit go.
I was hanging with...
You're Danny Brown. You should be allowed to wear whatever fucking shorts you want.
That's one thing I thought about, too, though. Like,
that's what you're supposed to be.
But, you know, they sell their own shit, too. So maybe you feel like I was bad. I didn't buy their shit.
They got to let that shit go. All that shit they have in their head about what kind of fucking shorts you have, who gives a shit?
But part two, I just looked at it as I never joined this situation as me trying to fight a nigga.
That They're shorts.
No, I'm saying
they're
shorts. No, I get it. Because even one time we had a conversation, it was like, man, you got to know how to protect yourself. And this and that. I'm like, nigga, if I hit a nigga, I'm going to get sued.
True.
And part two, if a nigga hit me, I'm going to shoot this nigga. Like, guns. Like, y'all forget that guns exist and we live in Texas. I don't give a fuck about how many elbows you throw.
That's a good
point. Niggas with big ass guns.
Big ass guns.
Especially in the climate, the situation that I live in. It's not like, you get what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
Bro, so me doing Muay Thai, that was literally, I'm 40 years old. I'm not about to fucking fight nobody.
I would never think that you would.
But
I think everybody should learn at least some understanding of martial arts.
Let me tell you this.
Be good for everybody.
One thing it did for me, I don't want to talk, I hate this. Cause I'm,
what are you going
to
do?
But what I had to say, because I will forget. That's my fucked up brain. I know podcasting, like, oh, you don't talk about no motherfucker. You know, but I'm sorry. But if I don't say it, I'll forget it. But it humbled the fuck out of me. Because I'm the type of motherfucker, I talk shit. Like, I get drunk. Like, nigga, what's up, nigga? What the fuck, nigga? Bang, you know what I'm saying? Nigga, what? Nigga, I seen people, nigga, nurses, women 5'3", 140 pounds, kicking a bag. You look like, nigga. If she hit me with one of these, it's a wrap. You get what I'm saying? So it humbled the fuck out of me. And it made me know that I never want to fight anyone in my life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's like everything else. It looks way easier than it is. If you're watching the UFC and you're watching Israel Adesanya versus Alex Pereira and you're watching the best in the world and you think, if somebody fucks with me, I'm going to do something to them. Like, you have no idea how far that gap is. It's humbling. Because a girl's walking around with 140 pounds, right? So that means her muscles and her legs are carrying 140 pounds everywhere she goes. If she kicks you in the head, you're going unconscious.
So, yeah, that's what's been happening with my Muay Thai gym. That's why I haven't been back to Muay Thai.
It's good,
and
though.
Crazy.
That humbling thing's
actually
good.
Fucking Tony, they had a UFC. They had a party for the Adesanya Pereira fight.
Oh, did they?
And he hit me up. Tony's like, come through. Pull up. But I was sad about the Muay Thai shit.
But still?
Yeah.
So it turned you off to martial arts?
No. 12th Planet. 10th Planet.
10th Planet.
I know.
What?
They around the corner, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they was just saying, just go over there.
Well, that's a good place, too. You don't have to go to the same gym.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Someone who respects your
I
shorts.
I might have to switch gyms. Yeah.
Go to someone who respects your shorts.
Because I'm Danny Brown. I can't be fucking wearing no bullshit.
That's what I'm saying. Whoever's running that gym, let it go.
No, it's part two is not the person that's running gym part.
Bro, Dennis Rodman shows up at your gym. You gonna tell him what fucking shorts he can wear?
You're right.
You can't.
And guess what? This is my first time buying, so it made me feel bad. You know how it is when you're trying to be cool? Because I didn't have no Muay Thai clothes. I've been wearing just regular shorts, pulling up. I never would wear their gym shit. This is the first time I wore the gym t-shirt to the gym.
Yeah.
This nigga's like, you worried about the wrong shit. You trying to look cool to do Muay Thai.
This is bad motherfucker.
And you suck at Muay Thai. And it's like, bro, I joined Muay Thai to get in shape. So that's what happened. I haven't been doing Muay Thai. I've been going to a normal gym, just doing normal shit, getting in shape, doing
that. Well, that's good too, but they need to respect the shorts. There's this dude named Badr Hari. He's still an active kickboxer, but at one point in time, he was like one of the best in the world, if not the best, in the heavyweight division, and he would fight like golf shorts on.
I've been watching a lot of One.
Oh, One Championship?
Yeah, Rod Tang.
Whew. That dude's a beast.
I like that because they have the just straight Muay Thai fights and shit like that, so I like watching their shit.
Did you see when Rod Tang fought Mighty Mouse?
Mighty Mouse whooped his ass. Yeah, they had a
mixed fight.
It was one round this, one round that. Yeah. Mighty Mouse fucked him up.
Yeah, well, Mighty Mouse got through the first round and landed some good shots.
I look up to Mighty Mouse so much, man.
He's so good. He's so good.
Bro, like, it's some, like, I look at, I know it's, like weird. Like, I mean, like, because I don't, like, I mean, a lot of people feel like shit, like, race baiting and shit like that. But you got to think, like, martial arts and, like, urban communities are not, like, it's not a fucking Muay Thai gym up the street.
Right.
So for a person to be from the hood and be like, man, I want to, you know, get into that shit and get to fighting. Because niggas fight every day. Niggas do all type of shit. It's actually, I guess for the most part, it'd be boxing.
because boxing I'm not easier to get into, but like jujitsu is expensive.
Because even me, I can't lie, it was always like crunk. Like me being from Detroit, it's always was boxing gyms around that I could, if I wanted to, I could have gotten.
Did you ever go into crunk?
Fuck no.
No.
Fuck no. Joe, look at me, man.
I know, but just to look around, man, that place is so legendary.
Let me break it down to you, man.
Emmanuel Stewart, Tommy Hearns.
It's different type of people in life, man. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You one of them type of niggas, you was always about the muscles and kicking niggas. And some niggas, bro, and some niggas don't care about this, and all they care about is what the clothes.
Yeah.
So I was always a fashion guy.
Right.
Like, think about
it. I get it.
You never was a fashion guy.
Nope.
See?
Look at me now. Wear
don't
a fanny
that,
pack.
Don't that sound fucked up, though?
No, it doesn't sound fucked up to me at all.
No, I'm saying,
I could get it.
No, that's the thing.
I could understand it.
But that's the thing about it. It's like people that work out. I got this muscle-ass body. I can take my shirt off and show you how I look. But then there's certain niggas that's like, no, what the shirt you took off? That was some bullshit.
The shirt I took off?
Yeah, that was some bullshit. What was that shirt? Oh,
it's
no,
wet.
Nigga. That ain't no Kiko Kashanoff.
No,
that ain't no motherfucker.
You didn't like my shirt?
No, see, you're not understanding what I'm saying. It's just fashion.
But this is Roots of Fight.
When you got this muscles.
This is an old smoking Joe Frazier.
See, Joe, you're not even giving
this. This is from like one of his fights.
When you got
it's
muscles,
a replication.
Niggas don't care what kind of clothes you wear.
I know, but this to me, this is like artwork.
Actually,
this is the advertisement for smoking Joe Frazier's fight from 1971.
Shut up, man. This would be a great vintage pickup for me. I will buy this. So that was fashionable.
I'll get it for
you. We're not making it like that. But I'm trying to tell you, it's some people. No, I'm telling you. It's people in this world that they're like, all I got to do, I don't have to look muscular. All I got to do is stay this certain size to be able to fit this certain type of clothing.
Mm.
See, that's what y'all niggas
get. No, but I get it. I get it, because there's people that
but
work out.
But they ain't working out to do that. They just doing coke and not eating.
There's people that work out that also do that. They also get into fashion. I just don't give a fuck.
No, it sucks.
I just don't give a fuck. I appreciate it. Like, when I see people that are into it, I appreciate it. I don't not like it. Like, when I see someone who has great style, you have great style. Brendan Schaub has great style.
No, he doesn't.
I think he does. I like the way he dresses. I think he looks cool. I don't do it, but I like it. I like when people put a little effort in. I like it, but I don't put any effort in.
No, because you got me. That's what I just told you.
And it's not because I have muscles.
You got
muscles.
And then
busy.
You don't got waves.
I'm busy. I don't have anything, man. I don't have anything, man. I got bald, stupid head.
But no.
But I like when people are into it. I'm not like, I don't like see a guy who dresses nice and go, look at this fucking idiot.
But no, I tell you, that is, no.
I think it looks good.
What I was saying that to say is, that's like a defense mechanism for a lot of people, where they feel like, oh, I don't have to, if I'm just good enough shape to look good in the clothes that I want to wear, that's good enough. I don't have to be muscular.
That makes sense. It's also, it shows that like, this is what you care about more, aesthetics and style and cool shit. You know? Cool shit.
God damn it. You want to hit me with the fucking
nice
fire?
Clothes are cool shit.
That's all I care about.
I know you do.
But you know what's fucked up about me? I think where I'm at this point in my life, where I'm at, God damn it, Daniel, like, you got to grow up, you know? Because I lived my entire life as a teenager.
I would try to hold that back. If you and I were closer, I would try to tell you to not grow up and just stay who you are.
You have to You're good. You have to have money to not grow up.
I think you could get both.
I mean,
when I watch your podcast, I'm like, this dude has a fucking hilarious podcast. Me and Tom
talked about it
on the phone. I called him up. I go, dude, Danny Brown kills me. I go, I watch that show all the time. He goes, he's so good. And I go, isn't it amazing that someone could just like jump into podcasting? But now I get it, because you were always a fan of listening to podcasts. So you were kind of talking, you're kind of having those conversations in your head.
No, and you want to hear some other real shit too? Is my entire musical career, it wouldn't been what it was if I didn't do interviews.
How's that?
My music is one thing. You know what I'm saying? But when you meet me and talk to me, people like that more than they like my music.
I see what you're saying. So like your personality goes along
and
with,
it sells the music. And then once you like me, then you're like, oh, I like his music a little bit. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's what it.
That's the same for comics with podcasts.
I don't know.
Oh yeah, definitely is.
I see a lot of hated comics that get a lot of views and get a lot of and doing good for themselves. Like Hate Watch.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, man. There's a lot of recreational outrage. But I think for the most part,
bro, you got
if
me
you
high.
Get
just,
better and you
just
keep
say,
doing
Brandon
it.
Brandon Schaub had fire.
I like the way he got dressed. I think he dresses good. Listen, I'm wearing a hoodie. I dress terrible. But we did get dressed up. I did a show with Tony Hinchcliffe, Brian Simpson, and Hans Kim at the MGM.
Those
we got
are all
David
my homies.
August.
Those
we
are got, all my homies.
We got David August to design suits for us. So they were custom made suits. You want to see this shit? Look at this picture. I'm going to show you some.
No, yeah, show me some. Show you some. No, I did some.
Listen, I'm not always gross.
But no, most, I never thought about that.
I don't mean it that way. But I mean, most of the time, I just don't give a fuck about like what I'm wearing. I wear what I like to wear, what looks comfortable for me. Or
let me tell you like this.
I like the shirt.
If you was to hop on some fashion shit and show up with a crazy fucking Gucci shirt on or something like that, I would judge you way more than anything else. You get what I'm saying?
Of course. Then you're trying hard.
You know, the thing is with me is it's fashion is about us being, I mean, we won't be in race in urban communities, but you know they say, like, black people, or when you broke, you don't got it like that. So you just want to kind of look like you got it like that. So being in the hood.
I completely get it.
So being in the hood.
That's with Italians as well. It's very, very similar with my family.
So that's all it is. In my whole fashion, bro, fashion fucked up my school. Like, I fucked up my life.
How?
Because I would skip school all the time just to go buy clothes.
Really?
Yes. Hudson's. Oh, see, it's not called Hudson's anymore. Oh, Hudson's to what people would be, it would be Macy's. So if Macy's had a clearance sale, the clearance sale is happening on Tuesday. All me and my fashion buddies, we know, on Tuesday. Macy's having a clearance sale. We show up in front of the school like gangbanging, like we about to go do some ill shit. But no. We literally just trying to go buy a $40 polo. None of us have money like that. We all high school kids. The most somebody probably have on them is $300 at the most. You get what I'm saying? But you can go Armani Exchange. Like, I remember I caught an Armani Exchange t-shirt for like $25. But when I looked on the tag, it was like $125. It's like, ugh. Like, shit like that was like going back home. Like, oh, I'm about to wear this tomorrow. I'm about to kill shit. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No one gave a fuck. No one gave a fuck, but it's just so, yeah. But even.
So the clothes represented something to you that was like unattainable, represented cool shit that was.
Oh, yeah. Even
that
now.
People wanted.
To this day, like me doing a podcast, I still bring something from school. Like, if niggas want to watch the podcast, I haven't worn the same shirt twice.
Really?
No.
So you thought.
So I'm buying shirts every week. Like, oh, fuck. I got to.
Tell everybody, like, you thought the podcast was going to be tomorrow, and you had some shit prepared.
Oh, no, I had an ill-ass, I got this ill-ass fucking, part two, I'm glad I didn't, because I feel like people would have seen that, like, this nigga trying too hard, and doing some, no, part two, so I think God did it for a reason.
Maybe.
Because I probably shouldn't have been on here like that, because I did.
What were you going to wear?
No, I got this leather jacket, a new leather jacket, it got, like, spikes and shit on it.
Will you please wear it the next time you come on?
Oh, I'm coming back?
Fuck yeah.
You heard him say it?
100%.
I'm back.
Fuck yeah, 100%.
But no, but I'm glad it happened like this because I actually was kind of stressed out about it.
I do seriously enjoy people that dress nice. It just, for me, it's like,
no, I don't think
I enjoy flowers, but I'm not planting any.
My dressing nice, I don't think you would consider that to be dressed nice.
I don't know, let me see. That's us. Come on, son. We look good. Look at Hans Kim.
I was mad.
Look at young Jamie. Look with the fucking sunglasses at night. That's how high we were.
Where was this?
At the MGM in Vegas. We all did the MGM Arena.
Oh, Vegas. I have so many bad memories of Vegas. I never leave my hotel in Vegas.
Really?
No, every time I've been in Vegas, I've just been there and I just do whatever I got going on. And
you gamble?
Do
you gamble at all?
No, I don't gamble. But I do gamble to lose money.
You want to lose money?
No. That's the way I gamble.
Oh, you gamble wild.
Yeah. With no intentions of winning. Yeah. So let's just say, like, if I go to Vegas, I'll be like, all right, let me get $1,000 out. Not just wild out with a little $1,000. Once I lose my $1,000, that's a wrap. I ain't doing nothing else.
I played blackjack with my wife. We were in town for something, and we played blackjack for like an hour. And I said, all right, I have like $400 on me. I go, let's just try that. It was gone in like a half an hour. I'm not even aggressively betting. I'm just terrible. I don't have any desire, you know?
No, that's the whole thing with me. Last time I was in Vegas, I fucking, I'm like, all right, it was time for me to go. So, like, fuck it. Let me just throw a little.
Yeah.
$100 in. It's time for the go. I guess I'm going to fucking hit.
Oh, no. Then you're hooked. You see what Drake's
so
been doing?
Listen. This is the fucked up part with me. I get it all. I run it on a roulette table. I run it all the way up to, like, 10 racks. I put 10 racks on one number.
No. Oh, my God.
Because I started with 100. So my whole shit was like, you know, whatever. So I put the 10 racks on the hole. Obviously, I lose.
They count on that. That's the whole game.
So obviously, I lose. I lose the 10 racks. I'm so pissed. So I just leave. I'm just so pissed. Just leave out. But I left my wallet, my phone. I'm always at the airport now. Time to board my flight.
Oh, no.
I don't got shit. Now I got to go all the way back to the casino. I get back, and guess what? My shit's sitting on the table.
Right there.
No one ever even touched it. No one ever even came to this fucking table. So I get that.
That's lucky.
What you think I'd do?
What did God do?
What did I do?
What did you do?
I was looking for revenge. I had
you
to go
went
get
back
that.
In.
I said, fuck the flight.
Fuck the flight.
And went to the ATM, grabbed some cash out.
How much did you wind up down?
Oh, 5,000.
Isn't that crazy? You know how many stories Vegas has like that?
No, and that was... How you do this?
Flip
and that
top.
Was broke for me. That ain't no real money. You get what I'm saying?
Put it at the top of it.
Oh, shit. But yeah.
Yeah.
You got me?
They got you. They'll get you. The only thing that I like to bet on is fights. The other side. Flip it to the other side. And then pull that thing down, that black thing. And if you put the one that's on the top, the little switch, yeah. But just pull that down. Pull it down. There you go.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I mean, that's the reason why they're so big. They're not big because they lose money. These fucking giant places run out of juice. Yeah, I'll fill that thing up.
My bad.
It's just I've met too many people that were gambling addicts. You know, I used to play a lot of pool, and I was always around these dudes that were like hardcore gambling addicts. They would gamble on pool. They would gamble on playing poker. They would all do off-track betting. Because in New York, you could gamble on like horse racing and shit, carriage racing. You could gamble on so many different things. So the pool hall was where all the gambling junkies hung out. Gambling scares the shit out of me.
Only thing I ever gambled on. We just shoot dice.
To what?
Shoot dice.
Oh, shoot dice? Yeah.
Yeah, in the bathroom at high school.
Gambling's exciting, but it should be fucking legal. The idea that it's not legal in some places to me.
I mean,
so
sports
stupid.
Gambling
you good?
Is one of the things that's, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Because even.
It's fun. Sports gambling is fun.
I hate to say it, man, but the Adesanya fight, I knew he was going to lose.
How could you say that? He
just
almost won.
Just his eyes.
He was three rounds down.
I ain't going to lie.
Or three rounds up, rather.
Just his eyes.
His eyes. What?
Something about him when he was talking.
Come on.
And I was just, I swear, this is me.
Danny, his eyes, this is what his eyes were.
No, this is me. And I bet on a lot of fights, and I win a lot.
Yeah?
And, but I would say I bet against him on the Cannoneer fight, so I was.
Well, that's a risky
bet.
Yeah,
that was but I thought I was trying to come up. I was trying to come up. But this fight, I just kind of felt sorry for him, kind of. Like, I knew it. Like, just his eyes, the way he looked. Something about the way he looked and the way, even when he walked out. Just something in his face to me, I was like, man, this nigga about to lose. And I wanted to call all my homies and be like, man, bet against other. But I didn't want to lose people money. So I just kept my shit to myself and I was like, I honestly felt to myself this nigga about to lose.
This is what you're saying. You're not saying that he's thinking he's going to lose or that he's scared to lose. What you're seeing is the magnitude of the guy he's about to fight. And that's, you can't change that. It doesn't change how a man performs once he's under duress and stress. But you can't ignore the magnitude. And if you ever go back and watch Mike Tyson fights, this is where you see it the best. when dudes were walking into that ring to fight Mike Tyson, they looked like they were being executed.
Yeah.
They were going to their death. They were getting arrested. They were getting processed. They had this look in their face like,
and you're saying,
fuck.
Israel ain't had that look on his face to you.
Israel definitely did not have that look on his face. What he had a look on his face is an understanding of what that fucking
guy can do.
Oh,
what could happen.
That guy, Alex
But
I've
never seen that from him. I've never seen
that. Because that guy's already knocked him out. That guy knocked
him out.
That guy's a fucking destroyer. You got to understand, like, people looking at him beating Izzy, right? But you don't understand, nobody even touches Izzy. Nobody touches him. And Pajeda just put him away. But Izzy fights Jan Błachowicz, who's the light heavyweight champ.
Him beating Romero.
Yeah.
And then him beating Costa.
The Paulo Costa fight.
I mean,
The Paulo Costa fight. Paulo Costa is a fucking marauder.
Bro.
That dude is.
That nigga don't even need to fight.
So jacked.
He just started OnlyFans.
So good looking.
Just started OnlyFans.
But that fucking dude just marches people down and smashes them. He marched down Yoel Romero, and he didn't even touch Izzy. He didn't even touch him. But that's how good Pajeda is. He's that good.
No, he's definitely terrified. But that's what I was saying. Me just fucking with the Muay Thai class and shit.
Dude, I was trying to warn people.
Because a lot of time, I get drunk, I talk shit.
Of course you do.
I talk shit to people.
Now imagine talking shit to a guy like Pajeda.
But no, not even that. Imagine talking shit to a fucking nurse. Fucking secretary that been taking Muay Thai for 3 years.
She needs you with
the
nuts.
You don't even know this bitch do any. And that's what I seen. They actually had Stamp Fairtech. She actually did a session. A thing at our gym.
Oh, wow.
And just even seeing her and how small she is and that, and like, bro.
Yeah.
Bro, I'm good. So, it humbled me. I will say that.
Well, it's just a little bit of a reality check.
The thing is, we live in Texas.
Yeah.
Sure. And it's all these niggas got guns.
For sure.
Everybody got guns. So it's like, you can't even.
Listen, no one is ever saying that martial arts are better than having a gun. No one's ever saying that. What I'm saying is, just for your own head.
Yeah, just
just for your own head, it's good to know how to fight.
No, because
if someone gets crazy with you, you just go, okay.
Last time I was in the gym, they was like, well, we need to, we was talking about that kind of conversation. I was like, man, I can't fight nobody. They're going to sue me.
You don't want to fight somebody. But what I'm saying is, what if somebody wants
yourself.
To fight you?
That's why you got guns.
Yeah, but if you don't get to the gun, it's just a good thing.
I'm going to have it
on
me.
I believe you.
And especially since we're here and you can have it.
It's a good thing
to
know.
So it makes sense just to have a gun.
Yeah.
It makes, especially as a black man in America.
Do you believe that a well-armed society is a polite society?
No.
No? Not at all?
No. Because just me being able to travel and like going to like Europe and shit like that where guns aren't a thing, and I see how well-behaved people act because of that simple notion. Like right now, like what I talked about, like going to Muay Thai, how much that humbled me and being that. But at the end of the day, I should never have that feeling anyway.
Right. No one should have that feeling.
But only reason why I have that feeling because I know guns exist. And if I have a gun on me, you can't say shit. I don't give a fuck how muscle you. I'll shoot you, bitch. Shut the fuck up.
Right.
But now in over those countries, it's all about brute strength.
Right.
It's knives. And you know what I'm saying?
The knives thing.
You
got
to be rich to have a gun.
Yeah.
And we over here, we got motherfucking niggas over here making 3D printeds.
Yeah.
I can get a 3D printer heater right now.
They're making ghost guns.
Shoot, same way.
Yeah. But it makes sense. They can 3D print everything now. They make
but the
fake
guns
Rolexes.
Is different.
They make fake Rolexes
that
are
fake.
Exactly the
That's
same
still
as a
fake.
Rolex.
Oh, shit.
But you know what I'm saying? Like,
that
they do that. There's like a whole market.
That
they can make a gun easy.
It's replicas of anything, but a replica of a gun still kill you.
Oh, yeah.
A replica of a Rolex still,
no,
whatever.
It's a real gun. It's a real gun.
So yeah,
And they can 3D print them. Wasn't there a guy that like invented this shit a long time ago, and there was like some big controversy about it? He was showing people how to 3D print guns like on YouTube or something like that.
No, it's still going on.
I know. But wasn't there a guy that was like one of the first guys that was censored off of YouTube? Am I misremembering this? I might be misremembering it, but I remember when that shit first started happening, where they were making 3D printed guns, and people were like, this is insane. Like, we have to stop this. And they're like, well, there's no law that can stop it. And it was like, I guess it's state by state.
No.
But yeah, they 3D print guns. Go
piss. I'm sorry.
I saw that look on your face like you were contemplating something. Go piss and come back. Dun, 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 Danny Brown. Freshly drained.
No, yeah, I'm a bad.
No worries. I do it all the time. I fuck up coming here with too much water in me.
Like, no, that's all it was. Damn it. I've been drinking. No, because I've been on this. I wake up at like 5 a.m. and I'm.
Yeah?
No, but I'm an early sleeper. Yeah, I'm an early sleeper anyway. So it's not like what happened was, you know, motherfuckers talk about that on some workout shit and be like, I'm just actually one of those guys that do that. So then, like, I'm like, man, maybe I should take advantage of that shit.
Yeah, why
so not? Now, like, I wake up at like 5. Like, cause, yeah, so I do. I wake up at 5. Because I never was like a workout person. But now I can get so much shit done before my girl even work up. Mm-hmm. Like, when 10 a.m. comes, it's like, oh my God, bitch, you don't even know. I'm dead. Dude, I got to watch the dogs and shit and go to sleep and shit. But yeah, so now I've been just taking advantage of being able to wake up that early with no. But I think that's come from stress type shit.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Where you just don't feel good sleeping.
Just too working on music. I think, because see. Oh, I was just talking about. Actually, you know who was just here? Fucking Hannibal. Hannibal was fucking here. I was doing my fucking show. I wish I would fucking knew he was here. Then he just showed up. And I was like, man, you might as well come over here with us. But he had to leave. But no, I forgot what I was. But no, Hannibal. No.
We were talking.
Oh, I was just telling him that. I feel like when you know y'all as comedians and shit, y'all make specials. It's like instant gratification in that sense. Because y'all could do, I mean, I know y'all worked on a special for years and years, but then y'all actually do it in front of a live audience. Even though the audience knows it's a special. I mean, it is what it is. You know, y'all
have
do
you
the
thought
special.
About doing specials? I know you're doing a little stand up.
No, I'm not.
Not at all? At Kill Tony?
No, now. I mean, I go on there and I have fun and shit, but.
But didn't you do like a minute on Kill Tony?
No. You never did nothing, but.
You only just sat as a guest?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm starting to take it serious because all y'all motherfuckers keep telling me I'm funny.
I know what it is. It's Tony. Tony was telling me that he's trying to get you to do it.
No,
right?
Everybody keep telling me that I'm funny. And they're like, you can do it. That's, I guess, is what I'm talking about. But, you know, the thing is that I'm a nerd about is the writing aspect of it.
Good.
So I love to write. Even me writing songs. Like, I always say this all the time. Like, I don't know. I mean, I'm better of a writer than I'm a rapper. You know what I'm saying? So,
Danny, you're a funny dude. You 100% could do stand up. You just like the way you approach music and the way you now have approached podcasting. You could do stand up.
No. That's the thing about just the fact that someone like you tell me, someone like Tom hanging with Tony. So it's like I'll be a dickhead to not try.
You have to try
and not to do.
You should do it.
The whole shit. In the beginning, was like, man, I bombed at rap for like 20 years. Why would I want to stand on stage and try to tell jokes and bomb and go through that? But then I actually started thinking about it, and I'm like, maybe this is like a second calling in my life.
This is why I think it is. On your show, you have hilarious stories, and you got a great way of telling them. You have a great way of telling stories. It's fun. Mm-hmm. It's funny.
No, that's the thing that I love about doing
just
it. Is I'm having fun right now.
You
it's
can
not,
translate that to stand-up. You watch Tim Dillon?
No, I love Tim Dillon.
That's what Tim Dillon does. He does that rant on his show. Mm-hmm. He's the best ranter alive. He does these rants, and then he takes chunks of those rants, and they become bits. Like, that's how you come up with material. It's like, what you're doing is next door neighbor to stand up.
Yo, see, that's the thing, too. Because you can't always be like, see, I was always that guy. Like, I was funny. Like, you can be the funniest guy at the family reunion. But that don't translate on stage.
But, Danny, you know how to be on stage. See, you know how to be in front of the camera. See, you're
rapper.
Saying it doesn't translate on stage. No. No. Even in front of the camera. You're saying it doesn't translate on stage, but that's just like your funny uncle who can't go on stage at an open mic night because he's fucking nervous.
That's who I am.
Yeah, but you're not that because you're not nervous. You're not nervous doing your podcast, and you're not nervous when you're rapping.
No, I'm not nervous. I'm not.
So you're not nervous in front of people.
No.
But you tell stories in front of people in front of the camera, and they're fucking hilarious. You're not nervous doing that. You're not. It's not the same thing.
I think you know one thing that I'm scared of is that I respect comedy so much, and I know it's like, it's almost gatekeepy.
It shouldn't be. That's good.
But
it's
you understand
that you
what
respect
I'm saying?
It, but it's not really gatekeepy.
Like, if I'm.
Let's
just imagine,
in.
Okay, let's say tomorrow, if I'm just like super good with comedy, like, like comedians will hate me.
No, no, no.
And I
want to
be friends with people too.
Listen, bro, they're not gonna hate you. The ones that are gonna hate you are like idiots. Comedians. The idiot comedians will hate you.
This is like Royal Rumble.
But if you're good, you're good.
Being a comedian is like being in a Royal Rumble. Who gonna throw each other off the first? You get what I'm saying?
But
like, even now with podcasting, having a beef with another comedian like driving you views. So now I already see, nigga, before we know it, nigga, it's gonna be like podcast comedian beefs, gonna be like rap songs and shit. We one step away from that.
Yeah, well, that's always going to happen with some people. Some people just love to get mad and talk shit about people. It's like their favorite recreation.
But that's the way they get the views, and that's the way it drops shit.
But you don't have to participate in that.
No, no, no.
But what I'm saying about you.
I'm not going to participate in that because you're going to figure out if this Muay Thai works. Nigga, come on some podcast talking shit about Danny Brown, nigga. I ain't coming back on no podcast talking about you.
What I'm trying to say is you have zero fears about being gatekeeped. People are just going to want to see if you could do
it. I've been there.
Go have fun. People already love you from your show. They love you from your mom's house. They love you when you guest on Kill Tony. You can just do it.
Yeah, no, that's where I'm at now. Because you got to think, that's a total 360 from my rap career.
It is and it isn't, man. You know,
I don't, Joe Rogan, I don't
think
creativity.
You know. It's your creativity. It's
your mind.
My
rap career is a total different world than what this is.
Of course.
My rap career, I would say, what made that bad is that I started a little too old. So I didn't really get recognition or, you know, till I was 30 years old. And you got to think, I've been trying to do this my entire 20s. So when I started to be a rapper and get recognition for it and being that, I had a bitter attitude towards it.
Mm.
You get what I'm saying? Because it took so long for it to happen.
That happens a lot.
And then now I'm 30 years old. It's a 30-year-old rapper. It's like it's like a ticking time bomb at that point. Like, how much time you got?
Really?
So I'm already in my head. Like, I will say, a lot of people say, like, being a rapper is dangerous, like, you know, because all the killings and shit like. But I would say being a rapper is dangerous in a sense because once you do it, you can't do nothing else. It ruins you.
So how
let's
so?
Just say, okay, let's just say I was a rapper, and then it failed. Then I got to go get a normal job.
Well, if anything,
but I had
fails,
minimal
though.
Success. You saw my video somewhere. I had a couple views.
Yeah.
Now I'm working at a job with you. Now you're like, oh, you, blah blah, yeah. So that and everywhere you go, somebody, you was a.
That's true. If
so
you're an
you
actor
always
too.
Recognize.
But that's true. If you're
so
an
you're
actor
always
too.
Getting acknowledged for your failures.
But that's true with
every
anybody
time someone,
in the public eye.
So just imagine, every time someone recognizes you, they're acknowledging your failure. That hurts. It hurts.
Of course it does. But that's what happens in all walks of life. Anytime when you fail and people get to shit on you, and
if you work fries at McDonald's, no one cares.
Don't you remember Gary Coleman?
Nigga,
Gary Coleman
Arnold,
from Different Strokes.
Arnold?
Yeah, he started working as a security guard, and people would just shit on him relentlessly. I'm like, imagine that. Because if he was just a security guard, no one would care. You would never walk up to a security guard and go, look at this fucking loser. You're
so
a security guard.
That's exactly what I'm saying. So
it's
me,
the same thing with actors.
So me being Danny Brown, I can never go back to being I can never go back to being Daniel.
Danny, you don't have to, first of all. And don't even think about it. Don't even think about it. You don't have to. You're never going to have to do that. I know what you're saying, but you can't think about like worst case scenario and dwell on it like that. You are a personality, and a personality can do anything it wants to do. You're a fun guy.
I think about that, and I love that too. Because you got to think, the last album I put out was 2019.
Yeah, you were saying that,
and
like
that
you're
was
still,
you're
touring infrequently.
No, I worked on that album with Q-Tip from just to be able to work with Q-Tip.
Mm.
Which is such a fucking big deal to me.
For sure.
And, you know, it gave me confidence in my music to be in the fact that A Tribe Called Quest was my dad's favorite rap group. I remember going to my dad taking me to fucking preschool. I mean, I'm preschool. It wasn't that early, but whatever.
Whatever it was.
But elementary school, my dad taking me to school, and he listening to A Tribe Called Quest. And before I know it, one day I'm sitting in the studio with Q-Tip every day. Working on the album. So it was fucking, it was a big deal. You know what I'm saying? It was a big deal for me. And
you know, we made that album, and I guess think the world of music have changed so much. Where like a 10-second TikTok beat means way more than you putting out a single.
Hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like that whole shit changed. So the way I grew up, like me, my favorite rapper is Nas. And Nas just put out a new album. And that album is fucking amazing. And you know why that album is amazing? It's because Nas is having fucking fun. And Nas is able to make music without any fucking... You gotta think...
Well, Nas is really rich. Like, he's got a bunch of
it
different
wasn't
businesses.
Always like that, though.
No, but I'm saying, like, right now, if he's doing rap right now, it's because he wants to do it.
Yes, but it fun. Wasn't always like that. He right. had the
of
whole
course.
Situation of what he went through.
Oh,
with
yeah.
his divorces and... But
yeah,
saying,
yeah, yeah. It's all public.
Yes.
He's the best lyricist ever, in my opinion. His fucking shit is so complicated. The way he does things back... What's that one song where he does backwards?
Rewind.
The Rewind? That's a brilliant song.
Yo, you want to have this comment? Bro, we don't want to talk about this. Like,
just for me.
Nas is like... And I've had the opportunity to meet Nas a lot. Like, I'm going to say a lot, but he knows what he means to me. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, actually, he wanted to sign me to his label. I didn't sign to him because... I mean, whatever. I mean, money, man. Money,
yeah,
money, man. The other contract was more money, man.
Yeah, I get
and
it.
That's what it is. But sometimes I think about that. Did I make a mistake? Be like, damn. Just because the artist that I looked up to my entire life that made me be a rapper tried to sign me, and I didn't sign with him. All because of money.
Mm.
And now, like, even we... No, I'm not saying, like, I feel any way about being with Warp. Like, I love Warp. Warp is, you know, they've done... Part two, Warp has made me a better artist than what I actually am.
How's that?
Because, like, okay, it's even out. Like, the album that I made an album during COVID, obviously. We were sitting around when nobody could do nothing. And I just felt like, oh, shit, I ain't... So I just started going to the studio. And just started recording songs, making music. Record the album. And this is the album that we're going to release. But the album been done for like 3 years. Like, you know? And...
Well, so what's been the holdup? You don't know? So it's all on them?
That's what happened when you signed the record labels.
Oh, Jesus.
Bro, you want to hear... Bro, all right. You want to hear... All right, let me give you my rundown story. I might
3 years?
I might need another drink.
I think you need another drink.
I might need a drink, yeah. All right, so check this out. Danny Brown, being a regular rapper from Detroit, whatever, fuck. All right, whatever.
Cheers, sir.
Thank you.
Cheers.
I'm not even going to go into Tony Yayo and G-Unit, all weird shit. Just get to the point of... So, I remember being... It's a festival in New York at the time. It was called CMJ Festival. Which was like cool. It was like, you know, same thing as South by Southwest, what is the Texas. That's what it was for New York. And they had this festival, CMJ Festival. And at one of these shows, they had at Brooklyn Bowl, Fool's Gold Records, threw a show. And Kanye showed up. And it shut the whole shit down. Like, and I couldn't go. I couldn't get in. I was like. And to me, I was like, man, Fool's Gold Records, like, man, they like the illest shit. Like, if I could ever be cool with Fool's Gold Records, like, whatever I can do to be down with Fool's Gold Records, I would do. You know what I'm saying? Type of
yeah.
shit. So then shit goes on years. I end up getting a situation. I started talking to Fool's Gold. And I don't think they were really into signing me at the time. But Q-Tip from A Tribe Called Quest was real close with A-Track, who's one of the owners of Fool's Gold. And they hung out, and A-Track was like, man, we thinking about signing Danny Brown. And Q-Tip was like, nigga, thinking? Are you retarded? Like, this is one of the illest niggas. He broke it down to him, like, what makes me so ill? Which I can, that's, we can talk
that,
after.
That has to be nice.
No, I'm... Literally, like, super ill. Like, when it comes to, like, rap, like,
it's like cheating. Like, I'm like steroid. Like, it's super. Like, I can cheat. Like, it's super ill. So then he was like, fuck it. Yeah, I'm going to sign it, cuz. So then I already knew I was going to get signed to Fool's Gold. We already had this to each other. So it was no negotiation on what the shit was. So I was going in interviews already. Like, I would do an interview, and they'd be like, what's going to happen? And I'd be like, oh, I'm signing to Fool's Gold. So, boom, to say that, we signed a contract. I signed for $5,000. Literally, $5,000. And it was South by Southwest happening the next week. And I had, like, two shows. So I literally spent the entire signing bonus at South by Southwest the next week. So I had no money. Super broke. Whatever the fuck. I'm living off my girl. You know what I'm saying? Like, her banking on me making it as a rapper kind of situation. You know what I'm saying?
So yeah.
We do whatever we do. We get that. But then the album comes out. And at the time, no one really thought about the album. I did. But at that time, no one thought that the album would be like a big deal. End up, the album come out at one fucking album of the year in Spin magazine. It ended up being one of the best albums I ever had in my career. Like, but when you think about it, it's like a person back against the wall. When you listen to the album, my back against the wall.
Right.
It's just, and the whole concept of the album is, you know, rap music is all about being young, 20-year-olds. The album is called 30. This is an album about a 30-year-old rapper just now starting to get a break. And how he feels, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, and the album did good. It did good.
Congratulations.
It did good. I'm saying not, like, sales-wise or anything like that, but culturally,
mm-hmm.
It did good. And
it got recognition.
So I was able to get a lot of shit from that. And, you know, I got a lot of deals and signed a lot of shit. And then my next album after that was Old. It's called Old. But that charted Billboard. But it was a lot of money. It was a lot of money spent in that. I say that to say this. Okay. As me, as a kid from Detroit, got good at rap. All right. I know how to rap. A record label signs me. I rap for this record label. Make an album. In my head, as... when you start to make music, you want to be as experimental and to be you as much as point. You don't understand it's the thing called music business. So you're not thinking about business.
You're just thinking about art.
I'm just trying to make the best. Me, Illmatic was the greatest album I ever heard in my life. So to me, it's like Illmatic, and the other one is Cannibal Ox, Cold Vein. Like, so to me, it's like I'm trying to make albums to mirror those. I'm just trying to, like, as me as a rapper or as an artist or a musician, just trying to, like, shit that I was influenced by, like, try to make a piece of art that could stand next to that. You get what I'm saying? But
yeah.
At this point in life, nah, that shit don't matter no more. Because there's too much money to be made behind this shit. You get what I'm saying? So I didn't care about this shit. And then now...
So do you think that... by trying to make something that stands next to that, somehow or another, you'll lose money?
Definitely.
How come?
Because time changed.
Time changes how?
The shit that we liked in 1994, we don't like it in 2004.
I still do. I think there's a lot of people
do,
that still
do. But we got to think about the kids.
Dude, I still listen to Kool G Rap.
Have you listened to Playboi Carti?
No.
See?
Well, I'll listen to anything.
Playboi Carti.
I can't know everything. I don't have enough time.
Bro, Playboi Carti can shut down his whole shit. I'm being honest with you.
Can we play some of it? Can we play some of it? We can play some
you
of it,
You probably...
Right? What? Which...
No.
No?
No.
Just why?
No. Just some... See, look, I'm going to be a hater now by saying no. But no. 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 We're not going to play no Playboi.
Why?
Because this is my Joe Rogan interview.
Okay.
Let me know about the fucking framework.
It's not going to hurt you if he gets a little love.
All right.
You just gave him some.
Playboi Carti does not need love.
I'll tell you. We'll play that. We'll play a little of that just to educate me and educate the people that are listening.
Oh.
and then we'll play. Give me a Danny Brown track.
Look, no,
give me a Danny Brown track that you like.
I definitely don't want to hear your mind after this. Play Playboi Carti. No? Stop Why? Breathing,
bro. You don't get it.
I don't get it. Help me out.
My music is like stand-up comedy, in that sense. Oh, you want to hear some of my stand-up comedy rap?
Sure,
we'll
love
do
to.
That. We'll do that. We won't have to. Bitch, only thing you gotta know. My dick touched the ground when I'm sitting on the floor. See, that's the thing about rap. Like, you know me, I was into comedy, and so I took my whole shit from comedy, the way I would rap. So what I would do, I would just sit around and write punchlines all the time. So I write punchlines. So think about this. Look, I'm about to give y'all niggas the game. So it's 16 bars a verse. It's four lines for a verse. So let's just say if I sit around, I listen to a Joe Rogan episode, someone says an ill punchline on there. Uncle Joey, he might say some crazy shit, like, ugh. You get what I'm saying? Just some crazy shit. A line, just one line. I can take that one line. It's 16 bars. So one line could create four bars. So every line, I get four bars. So I need four lines to give me a 16. Yeah.
Oh, no.
No. The first time I ever did coke was Coachella.
How long ago?
What Coachella was this? I mean, it had to be a long-ass Coachella. What was it? And guess what? It wasn't by... I didn't ask for it. It was... What happened was... Okay. Listen. At this time, I was dating a girl. And she was bi. So she wanted to have a girlfriend. She's like, pick my girlfriend type shit. So I found her girlfriend. And I found her, and it was the type of bitch. They loved each other. They kicked with each other. They went on fucking vacations and all type of shit. They did all type of shit together. And then I'm playing Coachella. And it's a good time and a bit. But the bitch that's my girl partner is at Coachella.
Oh, no.
I didn't know that. My girl hit me up like, oh, she in the crowd. Boom, boom. Me being a real nigga, after I do my set, I'm like, fuck it. I just bust out. I just bust into the crowd, try to look for her, find her. Give me her number. Boom. I'm walking through the crowd like a normal person, like trying to find her. Finds her. We kicking it. We went to watch Sufjan Stevens. You know Sufjan Stevens? Oh, man, so good. Carolyn Loyal. Oh, man, whatever. Whatever. Went to go watch Sufjan Stevens. And I guess because of who I am, she just thought I did coke before. But I never did coke. And she just was like, ugh. She already had it and just hit me.
Wow.
So just in my nose already, like, and she like, oh, yeah. Well. I was just like,
ah. How was it?
It's the best time I ever had in my life. What are you talking about?
I've never done it. Dude, I avoid coke.
That's sad.
It's not sad.
It is.
Maybe it is sad. But it's not sad to me because I've avoided it successfully.
I mean, you can done everything you've done already and still experience that.
When I was in high school, I had a very good friend. His cousin sold coke. And his cousin, like, wrecked his life with coke. I watched this dude become a vampire.
I get it. But you could have did it and still be who you are right now.
Maybe.
Nothing. Maybe. What do you mean? You going to get lit and jump with the coke?
I don't know if drugs that make you more confident are good for me. I like drugs that make you less confident.
That might be some shit.
I like drugs that make you feel
vulnerable. That might be some shit, because that's all I like.
I like drugs that make you feel vulnerable and like give you more of a sense of community.
With the DMT
I like
and the mushrooms.
Mushrooms and I really like marijuana.
Even that, I did so many mushrooms. All right. Even it's okay.
But you know what I'm saying about drugs that make you confident?
Yes. So I did. So I did. I did the whole pocket, whatever. Hit me up about the mushrooms and like whatever. So I bought a quarter pound of mushrooms.
Jesus, don't tell the people. That's a lot.
I did in like a month.
It's a good amount of time. You probably changed a lot at the end of that month.
It made me worse.
Worse? How so?
Because, I don't know. It's just me taking the mushrooms. I mean, I did it, bro. I did a lot. I tripped out.
How did it make you worse?
Because I was clean at that time. And you know, everybody talk about how mushrooms could keep you from drinking. And when I started doing mushrooms, for some reason, it made me tell me that drinking wasn't bad. Like, you can drink. You can handle it. Then I started drinking. Then they said, I know. I'm doing coke again. I'm doing, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
So I blame it all on mushrooms. Because I was clean as fuck before I started doing the mushrooms.
For how long?
Months. Like 2 months. Now, all I'm going to say is 2 months is my limit. After 8 weeks, then, it's fucked up.
There's a thing that that does happen when you do mushrooms. It alleviates some of your anxiety. And maybe some people have anxiety about addictions. Like, they're not over it, and they still have anxiety about it. And mushrooms alleviate that anxiety sometimes. But what is an addiction, man? Like, what would make you want to drink or make you want to... Like, it's a weird thing that goes on in a person's mind.
No, an addiction to me, all right, and I can say that for mine. I don't know of any people... Addiction for me is an escape.
Yeah.
I've been through so much in my life, and even this and that. Like, even now, like, my fucking aunt passed, and it's... It is what it is. Like, man, I will say, man, like, that's what I try to tell you about me and my music career. Because it's like, my family, they look at me like I'm the richest motherfucker in the world. And if I can tell them that, no. Have you ever heard a Danny Brown song on the radio? Have you ever seen no. But to them, you got to think, Detroit, just the fact that I've made it in music and I'm someone, this and that, I don't have it. Like, I can be the first person to tell you. Like, music put me more into debt than if I didn't do it. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, so, my first album that I had, well, I'm not saying my first album, but with Triple X. But Triple X did good, and it gave all these people, boom, boom, these artists did good. And then I did Old did good. Did that, boom, boom, boom. It charted Billboard, boom, boom, boom. So now I was a free agent at that point. So now I had these record labels, all of them courting me, boom, boom. I was signed to Warp. Warp giving me a fucking damn near $250,000 fucking budget to make an album. What do you think I did?
Spent it all?
Spent every last. Nigga, before you know it, nigga, I was asking for more money. So I went crazy, made a fucking whatever the fuck, spent all the money I could possibly spend on this fucking album to make the best pop album that I make. And now that the album has been made, I don't feel bad about it. Have you looked?
Well, that's great.
When you get a spare time to yourself, Joe Rogan?
Fuck yeah.
Atrocity Exhibition. It's
can I play it right now?
No, that's the Jonah Hill. He shot one of the videos.
Oh, he made a music video for it?
Yeah.
Really?
Jonah Hill, yeah. He shot the video for the second single. Ain't it funny? I talk about that all the time. Like, even that. Like, even shooting that video was such a fucking crazy situation.
So was Jonah Hill, like, the director of it?
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Nigga, he was the budgeter. No one wanted to
Can we play it?
Oh. Here.
All right, cool.
Physical attention from older men makes me feel validated.
I'm empty inside.
Oh, Uncle Danny.
What? Gus Van Sant, nigga! Look, she just did the Kevin Hart commercial. When you ever seen a rap video look like this? How did they get Gus Van Sant though? I'm smoking meth.
Danny, I love it.
Funny how
down from there.
Why are you doing this, Danny?
I've been destroyed. And if I destroy it, maybe I'll feel okay.
None of us feel okay.
Oh, Uncle Danny.
Jesus Christ, that shit is amazing.
So yeah,
that's
so
amazing. That's so really good.
I've been doing
that. Cool. Is so what year was this?
2019.
Yeah, don't show anybody 2000, this, bro.
18, 17.
It's amazing.
But no, that's the thing. So with being a musician, no, being a rapper.
Well, it's not just that. It's like all the visuals. I mean, it's very disturbing and very crazy and very funny.
But
it's
being
like
artistically, but that's artistic
freedom.
To be, but you don't get props like that no more for that kind of shit.
You're gonna. Trust me. It's really good.
When I'm dead?
No, man.
Does that count?
Tell me you haven't gotten more people paying attention to music now that you started doing podcasts.
Fuck no.
No?
Fuck no.
No. Let's see what happens after this one.
All right, well, tell them.
Let me know what happens after this one.
I don't know.
So would you know? Like, would you know in terms of like streamings and downloads?
No, yeah, I definitely, because I'm super on that. But no, the thing is about it is that I just don't judge it like that. I look at it like what I've done good.
So what you think? Like that's good. I like that one.
No, that was amazing.
Yes.
No, I'm super proud of that.
Good, beautiful.
So now is what I'm doing next. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Like. The new album that I have, I'm going to talk about it. This is going to happen. It's called 40.
What does that mean?
40.
Oh.
In Spanish. That album you listened to was XXX.
30.
30. In,
yeah.
So, 40.
I like it.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah?
It's so good.
When is it coming out?
I listen
out,
to the album every. I don't know. Hopefully, this Joe Rogan episode.
Hopefully,
makes it
bump.
Happen faster.
What have they been? Why have they been holding on to it? What's the holdup? There's no discussion.
I don't know.
You haven't gotten any response. Have you had a conversation about it?
See how it happens. Being so
that's
bad.
But is it possible
so you know
to
what
be
it
independent
me,
now?
You know what
as
it made
a
me. You know what it made me feel like. It made me feel like maybe they're not happy with the album. So I should make more songs. So I've been making songs and constantly making songs for like the past 2-3 years. And now I get the actual final track listing of what the album is going to be. And it's, bro, it's nothing. I've been wasting my time making those new songs. And then it's new songs that I love, that I want to, you know, to be out on this. But it is what it is. But when I do listen to the album that they picked and they... I realize why they are a record company, and this is their job, you know?
And you think they did a good job?
Oh, amazing job.
Well, that's beautiful. Sometimes you need an editor, right?
No, exactly.
Yeah, you need someone else to
exactly.
look at it.
Exactly, because I'm not about to even talk shit about them and be bad about it, because they do.
Yeah.
Hey, we Apex Twins, man. Apex Twins, bro.
Yeah, you need everybody needs an editor. For the thing about comedy is it's beautiful because the audience is your editor.
Fuck music, man. I'm trying to be with y'all niggas, man. For real.
Well, listen, Danny, you're already doing
all
it.
I need is a
you're
tight
doing
five.
Your podcast.
I need a tight 5 minutes.
You could do 5 minutes easy. You want to do 5 minutes tonight?
What, you got something for me?
Yeah. I'm at the creek in the cave.
Yeah.
Okay.
You think I'm joking?
No, I don't think you're joking. No, I'm not joking either. I'm not joking.
Don't play with me, bro.
Danny, look at me. Do I look like I'm joking?
I mean, this will be testing me to make me do it.
Yeah, let's do it. 5 minutes. Not hard at all, man. You kill. We'll talk about it afterwards. If you got some ideas you want to bounce around, 100% you should do it.
I don't even matter
you
if
do
I
it,
bomb. Bombing don't even
not,
matter.
You're not going to bomb. You're funny. You're a funny dude, man. It's a matter of finding out how to do that on stage, and I don't think it's a long journey for you. I think for some people, it's a long fucking journey. There's some people that are like quiet.
You know, I
and
think the only thing that probably make it shorter because I've been rapping. And
you've been rapping.
On stage
you've been performing
years.
On stage, and you've also been doing a podcast where you're funny. That fucking podcast is hilarious.
You going to Creek and Crave tonight?
Tonight.
I'm pulling up.
That's right. Let's no. go, if you Danny
gonna, if
you're
going to press me like that, I will.
100%. You're going to do it tonight.
5 minutes?
Yeah, 5 minutes. You're going to have fun. It's going to be beautiful. I'll put you in a good spot.
You just got to think of what. God. All right, what time is it? No, for real.
Yeah, we're good, dude. Don't worry about it. It's 3:13 now. The show tonight is at 8 o'clock. Danny Brown, we're going to have some fun.
I'm going to try it.
You should try it. You know, it's a thing that you do, you get your feet wet, and then you're going to want to be really good at it.
I've done
you're,
it.
You're going to get obsessed at it.
I already did it. I've been there. I know how to talk on stage, and it's just, I just don't have a routine.
Yeah, well, like I said, 5 minutes is not that long. Just need one subject.
Yeah, but if I can get my 5 minutes.
You can get your 5 minutes. You can do it.
I'm coming tonight.
You're all serious now. Look at you.
This shit is serious to me, bro.
I get it. Serious, funny business.
All right, even you. All right, I did my rap shit. I've been a rapper, and so much, and being a rapper. But I remember as a time in being a rapper and like, and your teacher asked you what you want to be when you grow up. And I would say being a rapper and everybody would laugh at me. And then so it got to the point where I'd be like, I didn't say a rapper no more. I said a comedian. I'm like, I want to be a comedian.
You know what you are, Danny? You're Danny Brown. It doesn't mean shit what label they put on what you do. You could do anything you want. You could do music. You could write a fucking book. You could do podcasts.
No, that's actually what I'm doing. Thank you for saying that. So I'm working on a book right now. I wish I could say.
You don't have to say it, but you're professionally Danny Brown. That's what you are. That's what I do. That's my job. I'm professionally Joe Rogan. That's why I have all these different jobs.
God damn it.
You could do that too.
So just shut the fuck up and let it rock.
Yes. Be Danny Brown. Be Danny Brown.
Just shut the fuck up and let it rock.
Be Danny Brown.
No.
Don't worry about labels. No. Fuck all those labels.
Fuck
let
that.
Let all those other idiots sort that shit out. He's a rapper.
But
now he's a comedian.
No.
Get the fuck out of here.
You don't hear that? You don't hear some real shit about that, though?
Yeah.
That was another thing about that, though. Where me being in that, and I feel like a lot of they didn't fuck with that shit.
Comedians.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, they're not good.
They don't.
The ones that are good don't think like that.
I just told these niggas, bro, to me in my head, comedians, everything with that shit is Royal Rumble.
It's Royal Rumble. Yeah. It is a little Royal Rumble. But it doesn't have to be. Like, the guys at the top level.
And especially if you're not in that mix, a person like me. So me, a rapper, they don't want to help me or do anything. Everybody hates me.
But comedians don't.
No, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we don't do that. We help
each
other.
No, I'm saying I got my friends. Like I got Tony, David. Like, you know
Tom,
what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You know, Tom. Yeah. I mean, that's my... I work for them niggas, so I don't even look at them as friends no more.
Oh, you got to look at them as friends. He loves you.
No. That's my big homie.
I tell you, when I called him up and I told him how much I like your show, he's like, he's so funny. I'm like, dude, it's such a surprise show. Like, I enjoy your show a lot. It makes me laugh.
Do you
want
to
so
hear the
silly.
Shit about my show? That's the thing that I want to keep it. I don't want to get it to the point where it feel like it's overproduced.
Well, you don't have to. This isn't overproduced. There's one guy in here. And all he does is press buttons and pull shit up and
I
give his opinions.
I guess you are right.
And mostly
but
he's a
journalist. But in our heads, in our world, in our world of outside looking in, we look at this shit as like the biggest produced podcast.
Yeah, but it's not. Get the biggest skeleton crew. I go to places and like fucking 10 dudes behind a glass wall, fake laughing and pressing buttons and
it's
shit.
It's terrible. Fucking terrible. No, I'm not. Like, no, because you made it.
Yeah.
You said it. This is literally what it is.
Yeah, this is it. But this is what it's supposed to be. But that's what I was telling you about. You could do your show on FaceTime. You could just point your
know,
fucking camera
I know, I
at
get
you.
That.
It doesn't matter.
No, but...
It's what you say. It's who you
no,
are and what
no,
you say.
No, but I owe something to time. No.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No,
so
they're amazing.
I don't want to make no moves without them. You know what I'm
no,
saying?
No, you shouldn't. And they'll be with you 100%.
You know,
the way.
So if they want to, if I wanted to like do something outside of that.
What I'm saying
then
is.
Then I would want them to still be involved in it.
If you were doing something with some like fucking fake podcast network. You know, like there's.
What do you mean a fake podcast network? I'm with the real shit.
I know,
mates.
You are. Which is what I'm saying is great. But if you were with a, they're like, there's some networks
why,
out there that
why?
Are only.
Why do I need to be with any of that?
I'm not saying you, man. Oh. What I'm trying to say is your situation's amazing. But there's other people out there that get into a bad situation. And they get locked into these companies, and they find out these companies own 50% of their podcasts forever. And they're like, what the fuck? Like, with no investment. Like, there was a lot of shady people that got involved in podcasting when podcasting started getting monetized.
I never looked at podcasts for, like, a money type of situation.
Well, the problem is but other companies do.
I see that, yeah.
Some companies do.
No, now it's a lot of money involved in this shit, but I just... Because I feel like me showing up like me right now, talking to you, I would do this for free.
I would do it for free too. But that's the beauty of doing a podcast.
So, so I feel bad that someone would pay.
The problem with these, like what I'm saying about these podcast networks is they're not really providing anything. If a pod, I mean, they might be providing production, they might be providing a studio, but without content, they don't have anything. And if they're taking half of it and you're creating the content, which can happen, that's a crazy deal. And then they own it forever.
That's the whole tip. It's forever.
Get the fuck out of here. And I've seen those deals before. And I've also seen a lot of comics when they're getting signed to like agents and like kind of shitty manager types. The manager type will try to take a percentage of the podcast too. So they own a piece of your shit as long as you're doing it.
So that was the whole shit that I'm trying to tell you. Like me doing what...
So doing it at your mom's house is perfect.
No time. No, yeah. He told me, like, he, like, hit me up, like, you got the talent to do, like, a podcast. But I'm like, if I already did it on my own, I wouldn't be talking to you right now.
You might be. But the point is, you haven't. You did it with them, which is perfect, because they'll support you 100%.
I moved to Austin, Texas.
I know. I see. You're here
like,
right
I was serious about this shit.
Yeah. It's beautiful. That's a good situation.
Bro.
But Tom's like Tom and Christina are beautiful people.
Bro.
They're the best.
What are you talking about? Like this I wouldn't have did it if it wasn't them.
Yeah. And their situation, like having that studio, so it's all so professional.
Everything.
All the people that work there are funny.
I just
fun of funny employees too, man. They're hilarious.
Zolo, Sasha. Oh no, I got all them in the Muay Thai gym.
Oh really?
Zolo, Chad. All them see now I can't man. I feel bad because I got them all signed up to the Muay Thai gym. Now I'm about to switch gyms.
Just maybe they'll listen to this and take you back.
No, I told them. I already told them why I'm switching gyms. I already
told them. Disparaging your shorts.
No, we already told. We already talked about why I'm switching gyms. Part two. They happy with the gym. They are gonna settle. They go, but I mean, you know, I'm going to 10 Planet.
Okay. Should learn some jiu-jitsu.
I know.
I'm gonna
do that.
You're gonna just do jiu-jitsu.
Only thing I have a bad feeling of jiu-jitsu.
Bad.
Yeah.
How come?
Cause I was with a girl. I was with her. We was together for years and shit. And I used to go on tours for like months, be months. And I had like an ill ass big ass house in Michigan and shit. And I used to feel sad about her. Like she be in this house, she be by herself. Shit is kind of not safe. I put her in Muay Thai class. Not Muay Thai, jiu-jitsu. I put her in jiu-jitsu. She started going to jiu-jitsu. She got good at jiu-jitsu. So this maybe a year go by. Boom. This bitch looking at me crazy. Like, I can't even talk to her. Like, every time I'm... It's like, ugh. She muscle flexing. Like, she got... So now I'm living in a house with this bitch I done put in jiu-jitsu class... That look at me every day like, I could beat this nigga up. Like, why? She don't have no, you get what I'm saying? She don't even care nothing about what I talk about. Like, so whatever. I did that. And I mean, whatever. We went through what we went through. And it got to the point, it got so far to the point, she got so far into jiu-jitsu, she was teaching the kids class.
Really? Whoa.
This bitch got a six pack ripped. And guess who her boyfriend is? It's Danny Brown. She come home every night. So I think that's what ruined our relationship. Because it was me. So right. She come home and look at me. And I'm like, damn, you fucking them jiu-jitsu niggas, bitch. What you doing? You sit them muscle-bound ass niggas at class and shit. You come back to the crib with me. I'm a regular nigga. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. But we split up. And that happened.
Yeah, it could be an uncomfortable situation if you're dating a woman that could kill you.
Yeah,
And I think that's what happened. Because there'd be at times where we're having a little conversation, I could just
look
see
at
her.
You funny?
She like, nigga, I could whoop your ass, my nigga. Like, why you? And you know what it was? I put her in jujitsu on some shit of being in Michigan, living in Detroit. And at the time, like, you know what's happening with L.A. too, how all the people are fucking robbing, like, when they see, like, celebrities, he's not at the crib. Like, look, I don't know if you know, but, like, last week, Nas, we talking shit about Nas.
Yeah, I heard
they
about
that. They broke a Nas crib. So they look at and they see when you have to do shit and you're not home. And they're breaking it. So in L.A. is, like, that's a thing. And shouts out, nigga. I'm Danny Brown, nigga. So I know. Like, I got I got tabs and all that. So, yeah, they break it in every nigga house, bro. I'm telling you. If you got a house in L.A., yeah, they gonna...
L.A.'s a wild spot now. It's crazy how quick that swing.
I feel sad because my, my little homie, Zaloopers, my group, and now he just moved to L.A. And he been out there for a few months, and he been doing his thing. He been getting work. He just was in the last on the Fushi video. Shit like that. It's, you know, so I can't. It's one of those type of situations where I can't tell him you shouldn't be out there because he's getting work out there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But it's dangerous, man.
It's not the same L.A.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a lot different. You seen Denise Richards' car got shot?
Shot?
Some road rage incident. Someone shot at Denise Richards' car.
But what'd she do, though? What she do though? I mean, you said a road rage accident.
Yeah, what did you do?
Did she cut him off though, like that? Like, what she do though?
I think it was like SUV, and they got out of the car.
I don't
and realized that someone had shot the back of their car. See what
Denise Richard? But what's the other? See her and the other bitch that finessed the shit on the college. The college tuitions.
Oh, she wasn't involved in that. I know what you're talking about. You're talking about that the scam where they were getting their kids into college.
Denise Richards, but what was the other bit?
I don't know.
See, that's how you know black people.
So
that's how you know black people racist too.
Look at this. Pfeiffer's was chauffeuring the actress 51 to a film studio when the male driver behind them got irritated that we're having a hard time finding the place. TMZ reported. The outlet claimed that Pfeiffer's let the upset driver, who was allegedly shouting at them while trying to squeeze in front of the car, past them. That's when the driver allegedly shot at Pfeiffer's and Richards' vehicle, striking the back end of the driver's side. TMZ obtained a photo of the bullet hole.
Hold up. There it is. Go back up. Don't try to finesse that. Go back up. Denise Richards' husband shoots a lot of her OnlyFans content. He knows what guys like.
Do you think?
That's what I saw. I didn't see nothing else. What you talking about, niggas shooting?
Right.
Only thing I saw is Denise Richards' husband shoots a lot of her OnlyFans content. He knows what guys like.
Yeah. You think it's a scam? It could be a scam. No arrest. They don't have photos of anybody. Did they have a description of the vehicle?
Bring all the attention to the OnlyFans.
Yeah. Damn it, we got sucked into it, Danny Brown.
I'm not, bro. I'm not that nigga.
But we pulled it up.
Bro,
yeah,
I'm
it kinda
not
makes
that,
sense.
Bro, I swear to God, I see what's going on.
That makes sense. When you get into that world of taking photos.
Only thing I watch on YouTube is Wave 360 tutorials.
It says, the outlet noted that Pfeiffer's 50 stayed with the Real Housewives alum as she powered through and worked for 12 hours.
But now,
what's worked for 12 hours doing the OnlyFans stuff?
See, this is the shit that fucks me up.
Is that what you're saying?
See, Joe, this is the shit that fucks me up. Did I know? Because I don't think about this shit. But this shit is a lot of money involved.
Yes, there is. Danny, I got to pee. We'll be right back.
All
right. Danny Brown, ladies and gentlemen. 5 minutes tonight.
5 minutes? Oh!
Don't forget.
You gonna make me do it?
No, definitely not gonna make you do it.
No, not make me do it, but...
If you wanna do it, you definitely can.
Where are we
do
going?
It. Creek in the Cave.
Are you going to Creek in the Cave tonight? For real? No, yeah. I'm saying, for real.
Yes, for real.
Who
Who gonna be there?
Tonight, Duncan Trussell, Tony Hinchcliffe.
He live here?
Yeah, Duncan lives here. Duncan lives here now. Mm-hmm. You should do his podcast.
No, he need to do my podcast.
He should do yours too. They made a clip of Duncan and I, all the different costumes we've worn.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna come. Cause I'm just
not gonna lie.
I know I'm not gonna come.
Why?
If you put me in a headlock,
I'm not gonna put you in a headlock.
The headlock.
Just come. It'd be fun, Danny. That feeling is when I first got on stage, I almost didn't.
Like, no, see, this is the difference. You already said it. What? It's no big deal about me getting on stage. I can get on stage and talk shit for whatever the fuck. But the thing is the friend group that I'm starting. Like, I don't want to disappoint y'all.
You're not going to disappoint us. No one gives a shit. It'd be funny
like,
if you
I'd rather bomb and, like, be trash in my own presence and not around y'all.
It'd be funny if you bomb. Come on.
that's what y'all want to see.
No, Dan, I want to see you kill.
Me bombing.
Dude, I think you'd be funny. I think you'll enjoy it. I think it'll be surprisingly fun for you.
You know what's fucked up, though, about comedy?
What?
Nigga, 5 minutes is 30 minutes.
5 minutes is a long time.
Bro, I did it. I did it with Hannibal. No, you know what's fucked up? Hannibal been hitting me up all week. Actually, that was the first person that actually ever told me that I can ever do something in comedy. Now I used to be, my rap shit and do whatever. And I would do festivals. And out of nowhere, Hannibal Buress would just show up backstage. So this ended up being my friend. Boom, whatever. Know what? Hannibal always show up. He my friend. But one day I was backstage, and I was just talking shit. And I was talking about, you play Mario Brothers, right?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, Mario Brothers. And I was just... It's like, Mario's like a home invasion rapist. He's a plumber. Why is he kicking in castle doors down, stealing princesses? When did you know princesses had anything to deal with plumbers? And then you remember back in our day, his name was King Cooper.
Really?
You remember King Cooper?
Mario Brothers was King Cooper?
The actual boss... was King Cooper.
Oh, I never got that far.
But that's what I'm trying to tell you. It got so weird that they had to change his name and to be Bowser. He's Bowser now.
Bowser.
Because they don't want to make you feel like... Cause think about it. Why is a plumber kicking in doors to castles? You got to think. If you play Mario Brothers 3, you kill every kid he had. You just kicking those, throwing fireballs. Bitch, boom, boom, boom. Bitch, take this, And then you make it all the way to the princess. Who said, this nigga named King Cooper, right? She the princess. You just a plumber. You just kicking in those. You killed every last kid he had and took his bitch. The bitch never said she wanted to go with Mario. He's a plumber. Then his brother Luigi. Luigi ain't had nothing to do with nothing. He just was. If you play with Luigi, legs kick all rear. Like, you can't beat no game with Luigi. If you play Mario Brothers 2, like, when you picking the fucking rutabagas, that's what I call it. Picking rutabagas, you throw them in. Whatever. But I'm just saying. At the end of the day, Mario Brothers was home invasion rapist. And they trained a lot of kids into a lot of shit that we weren't supposed to be into.
What do you think things like modern warfare, like when people are playing these modern warfare games?
See, I don't play any of those, Joe.
But do you think that people, when they play those games, like urban warfare games, they're very popular, right? What's the big one?
No, a new one came out.
Yeah, Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah, so Modern Warfare is the big one, right?
Warzone.
Is there more than one of those of...
There's another one that, like, Fortnite, similar style of game, but you're doing way different stuff the whole entire time. But
Modern Warfare is basically like you're at war.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
What do I think? I think you gay. No. If you want to play games and, like, shoot niggas and, like, being fun and have shooting, that's not fun to me. Like, my favorite video game that I play is Persona.
persona? What is that? It's,
shit. It's about some teenage kids that went to school. And the murder happened, and we got to figure out the murder. Like,
oh, so it's a puzzle game?
It's like 21 Jump Street.
Really?
Yeah. And now, yeah, Persona.
This is it?
Oh,
look. Oh, so it's like anime?
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah.
Joker, that's Joker.
So you're like living, like you're playing the game as you're a character in this anime?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's so good.
That's
cool. And you only know the story unless you beat the game.
There's a lot of games now that like
if you got caught up into the story and you love the video game, you it's gonna make you beat the game to know what happens in the story.
Yeah.
So Joker, but they've been making look Joker sexy as fuck. They've been making look you gotta do all type of shit. But yeah,
interesting. There's a lot of games now where you you're basically going on this like hyper realistic journey. It's not as simple as just going and pressing things and shooting things.
No.
These games will take your life away.
No, now you have that's, no, the best games are those. Yeah. The best games are those. That's what I would say. Like Personas and I mean, I'm more so into a sports game.
Sports games?
Yeah. Me, I'm NBA 2K. That's what I was just talking about with Hannibal. Like NBA 2K is like the nigga version of the metaverse. And we just don't know that yet. They've been training us to get adapted to
metaverse.
They've been training us to get adapted to the metaverse.
Have you fucked with any VR? Have you done anything?
I've done all of it.
Yeah, what do you think about it?
I may be too old for it. Like just having something on your head. I mean, it's not actual what happens, the content that I see, is just actual.
Just having a thing over your face.
Yeah.
Do you think that as it gets lighter, it'll get more easy to accept?
Yeah, of course. But
when it gets to be right like now, sunglasses.
As of right now, it's nothing. That's not, you know what I'm saying? Like
it's not
putting
interesting
that.
To you.
Yeah, putting that. No, it's still fun. I love VR. I've done all the VR. Bro, it's one more time the Batman VR. You played that?
No.
The Arkham? Oh, bro. You might
I've only
that.
Played a few VR things. The things that are really good to me are the shadow boxing ones. Because you're having a boxing match against
just because
robot.
You said that, play the Batman.
Yeah.
Batman on the first.
Oh, you like do shit?
That's what fucked me up on VR. That's why I don't fuck with it no more. Because it got too deep.
Really?
I thought I was Batman.
They just put out Iron Man. You can be Iron Man. It's pretty cool.
I thought it was
Oh, wow.
It got too deep.
You put your hands back and you fly and you
shit!
For 3 days I played, for 3 days.
Oh man!
I beat it in 3 days, but I thought I was Batman for them 3 days. I'm talking about. So day number two, ain't no bitch could talk to me. The first day when I started is like, but day number two when I was fully fledged, nigga, I was Batman.
Wow.
That's the thing I love about video games, that I be able to escape and to go to a whole other world of this and that and then. But I think that's now where shit are starting to, with metaverses and the shit is starting to collide a little bit.
Like, it's definitely colliding. That's inevitable. That us going into some virtual world is inevitable, and it's probably just a natural progression of what consciousness does when it can control technology to a certain point. It probably gets to a certain point, then it creates an artificial technology. Just how long is it going to take? Is it going to take 100 years before we're all doing it, or 200 years? But we're going to be plugged in like
the
Matrix.
3 years.
It might be.
I don't know. 3 years is all metaverse.
But the metaverse itself, I was reading something about how Meta's stock is down because of all this investment in the metaverse, right? Isn't that what's going on?
That could probably also be because like their metaverse is different from what everybody else wanted. They're trying to make their own thing, the corporate version.
I just told y'all. That's what I was talking about with Hannibal. Like, the nigga version of metaverse is NBA 2K. If you play NBA 2K, my nigga, bro, you make your own character. Whatever basketball player you want to be. Like, I want to be 6'6", 250. I want to play for Orlando Magic. Then you on that team. Then you're playing it like every day, like literally playing like what game they got to play today. Like, you're on it. Like, to the point where you're mental. Like, even now, like, I play 2K games, like, oh. And I watch the real game that happened. Like, ooh, I got to play that game tonight. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, real shit like that. So.
They're so good right now, and they're going to be so much better. As addictive as they are now, imagine how addictive games are going to be in 20 years or 30 years. Like, because, like, 20 years ago, man, they were, like, blocky looking. Everything
the games
kind of
are not
going
to – I feel like then that's going to be – they're going to figure it out. It's going to be – I mean, I don't even want to say what I want to say, but –
It's going to be
real.
Insane.
This is going to be real.
It's going to be like real life.
Like us doing, it's going to be podcast video games. Mm. And I'm not, my mouth was in front of the mic the right time when I said what I had to say. When you click the button and that's what's, look, see, I'm giving them too much game. So make a video. I swear to God.
It could happen.
No, it could, nigga. It's going to.
Yes. This game got popular. The power wash simulator people would just power wash.
Oh, what are you talking about? These are my homies. This
so
is
all
my
you do
favorite
is
game.
Power washing
you clean stuff.
Let me throw this
people
mic.
I love it.
Bro, you made this up. You already know. Hold up. Joe.
Come on. A job you would never want.
Joe.
The truck simulator is even
He
more.
Already knew this. This is all I've been talking about on my podcast for the past. This is all I play.
Really?
The best
You play
game.
This?
Power Wash Simulator? It's the best game, bro, of the year. It's the best game
God.
Of the year.
Do you know how crazy that is, though?
Like, people do this. They'll drive. They'll
no.
fake simulate, drive a
Go
a
to my Twitter right now. Power
Vegas.
Wash Simulator, hit me up, because I told them, like, bro, how is when I finish the entire level, and then it's like two, it'd be like some dirt under the table.
Bro, there's a simulation of driving a truck down an empty highway.
What is
wrong with people?
People buy rigs, giant setups
like,
to do this
I feel
at
like
home.
You're a person that will get into video and you love it.
Look at this.
Fireman Simulator.
Fireman Simulator, putting out fires. So what is this?
Fireman.
The guy gets in the truck.
No, not fire. Fireman.
Oh, farming.
We look. Building crops.
Oh, my God.
You're building your entire land.
Look at this.
It's not real.
Oh, it's trucking.
This is a truck simulator.
Yeah, fuck the truck simulator.
It's like the car, but
because they ain't got no lizard
it's
lots.
It's about speed. It's about dropping shit off.
How is a truck simulator real with no lizard lots?
So is this lot lizards? Yeah. Is this how lizard lots? Is this how they're teaching this guy to drive?
And I'll be honest, the video I just clicked, that could be this, but that. I was just trying to find someone's crazy simulator.
But no,
setup.
I'm being
because look, this is
no
a game
what we did. We just hopped on the simulators for everything.
They're playing a
game. Thief simulators. Drug dealer simulators. My favorite drug dealer simulator, like you own your own dispensaries and shit. And you got to be your own dispensaries and... Look, this is the video games we're playing, Joe. I'm sorry.
I get it.
No.
Truck driver video games. That's like if you thought about a monotonous job.
More specifically than farming
part two.
Is weed farmer.
Weed farmer? There's a weed farmer simulator. Game?
No.
With fake water.
But what's the original one? No, I mean, no, the realest one is the airplane one.
Oh, yeah, flight simulators are real.
Oh, you don't fuck with that? Mm. I feel like that's some shit you'll fuck with.
I don't fuck with video games.
But flight simulator?
They get me too much.
You don't think you can fuck with that?
I get addicted to them.
For some reason, I think that would be like, if I would think like who I'm selling this video game to.
To me?
That would be like flight simulator. I would think it would be you.
Hinchcliffe does these.
Fuck no!
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he knows a lot about it. Like, he was talking to a pilot about engines and all kinds of different things. And
part two, Tony, me and Tony, I got me and Tony.
Tony does these all the time, these flight simulators. Yeah, he's really into it.
All right.
I used to play this game called Quake. It's like a.
You seem like a type of nigga that.
One-on-one video game.
You be finessing on RuneScape.
What's that? What's RuneScape? You mean escape room?
No.
No? What's RuneScape?
So Jamie, is this Jamie? Bro, are you over
what
there?
What is it? What is RuneScape. Oh, so this is like some fantasy type shit?
We're going
like,
to stop.
I'm gonna
Come
cast
on.
A spell
Let's stop.
On you.
Come on. Can we stop?
Look at this. You
Let's
thought
get
I
back
would be
into
this?
Real
you thought
life.
I would be into this?
Let's get back in
now
real
I'm
life.
I'm insulted. I was fine until now. Now I'm like,
RuneScape?
Yeah, what is that?
Bro, these niggas been finessing and been making so much money off RuneScape for years.
Oh, I'm sure. People make money off all kinds of things.
That's not cool. For real. No, I'm being honest. Like, that's not cool, man. Like, The RuneScape, like, with how it happened with
I'm
video
sure
games,
it's awesome.
No, how... No. See, that's the thing. I wish I was on the other side of the fence. Yeah, let me get some of that.
Why do you wish you were on the other side of the fence?
Because I ain't getting none of that RuneScape money.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So RuneScape is just super popular. But is it a game you love? Do you like it? Why would you think I'd be playing it then? You're shaking your head no.
Somebody, I thought you was a RuneScape type man. For some reason. No, I ain't gonna lie. I'm sorry.
I get scared of those. Is that like a role-playing game? Is that what that is?
Looks a little like it, yeah.
Don't cut this out, because I feel like people will know, but like, damn, they will get what I'm talking about. Like, damn, Joe seemed like a RuneScape type of nigga.
It looks like a little bit of like a World of Warcraft kind of.
Those games?
Older.
Those games are insanely addictive for people. Those World of Warcraft games, or what was the other one that existed, the big one before that?
StarCraft?
No,
that's
yeah.
Not like it, is it?
Yeah, but there was StarCraft is more like a strategy.
StarCraft
now,
is
right?
coming next, right?
But there was another
MMORPG,
game.
I was trying to think.
There was another game that Duncan got sucked into. Was it World of Warcraft?
No.
RuneScape?
Duncan got addicted hard to one of those like fantasy games where you're like in, you're like there's a lot of other people and you're doing tasks together and shit and you're in the forest with elves and shit.
That's what's the Switch?
StarCraft, yeah. I guess that's what it was playing, I think.
Is that what he was playing?
I just Googled Duncan.
No, man. Animal Crossing.
Yeah, I know he played World of Warcraft, too.
Is it Animal Crossing?
I just feel like there was a game that was like, maybe it's World of Warcraft. I don't remember which one it was, but it was one of the first of those games where people just kind of lost their life to. There was a dude who was he was a manager of the comedy store, and this dude's face was pale.
This
what is it?
Duncan playing it.
Yeah, well, he definitely has played StarCraft.
Yeah, so, no, StarCraft's not.
What the, God, there was another game, man. It's on the tip of my tongue. Anyway, this dude brings
League of Legends or some shit?
No, fucking, I don't remember.
Well, yeah.
But it was just, he was so sad. He was so addicted. And he was like, I'm so good at making money in the game and so bad at doing it in real life. I'm like,
no,
that's crazy.
But that's the thing. Like, these niggas have been selling CSGO skins and shit. Like, these niggas have been millionaires of video games.
Yeah, right. Because
it's scary.
You can sell some of the stuff that you earn in the game, right?
It's scary.
With real money.
It's scary.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
So, see, the thing is, for me in video games, like a lot of people look at me like I'm like a super gamer, but I play the games in the sense of to review them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Just to review them?
Yeah. I play games because I don't want to tell people that I think something is trash that I didn't have nothing to do with.
Mm-hmm.
So I would play, like, if everybody be like, oh, this shit tight, I play and be like, I would tell you what, you know?
Yeah.
Like, right now, the new game, I can't even really think of the name of it. But the game is, it's an independent game, but the whole game is about starting your own cult. So you start your cult, and you know, so the whole shit is about, you know, running a cult. So that's the whole new video game I'm into.
I don't, you know, if you think like Modern Warfare, Call
like
of Duty
shooting
type
games,
thing,
I hate
inspires
those games.
People to shoot people. I wonder if like starting a cult would inspire people to start a cult. This is
oh,
it?
Yeah,
Honey,
yeah.
I joined a cult?
Yeah.
Cults 101. This is the game you're playing?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's so good.
How many people that are in a cult think they're in a cult?
No one. Part two, I want to start a cult.
Do you?
Yeah.
Where would you do it? I feel like New Mexico is your spot.
Oh, where would I do it? Detroit!
Detroit?
Yeah, if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. I don't want no weak bitches in my cult.
Yeah, you want cold weather cults.
But no, when I think about it, I could start a fucking cult in Detroit. Them bitches don't care.
What would you like base your cult on?
Sex. What you bitches gonna do?
But what's the trick? How do you get them to join? Like space shit? You spiritual? What are you going with?
Who gonna get the dick? I mean, how hard you gonna work for it? I mean, if some bitches be like, oh, you gonna let me pee on you?
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus. Tanny Brown.
So the pee on bitches.
Maybe you should start your own game.
No, this is...
This is the game.
See, this is before me, before I was a one-woman man. See, now...
I get it.
I love my girl. We together. But
this video game thing, like this cult thing you do, at least it's like cartoony, right? It looks cartoony.
Oh, yeah. See, that's the one thing about it. Yeah.
It's not that like realistic. That would be a creepy fucking game if you started a realistic cult. But they all lead to people fucking, right?
I think is there ever a
cult that doesn't?
See, this is where it comes with me. And I think that's the only thing that's funny.
People fucking?
I mean, how do you make jokes about shit? See, that's where I'm at with comedy. Like, I know I make rap songs and shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. Like, see, the thing is about making rap songs and shit is like, you can be as cool as you want with rap songs, but it's cool as hell to rhyme words.
Yes, it
is. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, you can rhyme words that sound cool, and it's just like, oh, it's... Like, you know, it don't have nothing to do with fucking comedy or nothing, but it's funny.
Yeah.
And so now you're telling me to get on stage and be funny without the rhyming funny words.
Yeah, but you're already doing it when you're doing your podcast.
Yeah,
you're telling funny
no.
stories.
Because I tell stories and shit, but I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I'm just scared.
But you don't have to do it. You don't have to do it tonight. If you want to do it in the future,
no, I am going to.
You can prepare for it.
No, the thing is, no. See, this is the thing is about it with me. I've been a rapper my entire life, and that was God told me, "Oh, you're gonna be a rapper. Oh, try to be a rapper, and try my best to be a rapper, and as rapped as much as I could." But who knows if I grew up in fucking some weird suburb and I wasn't a black nigga and rap wasn't just a thing around me, what I've been doing comedy, like what I've been doing, what I've been playing the guitar or shit like that. So I feel like when they talk about 100 hours, I only think I'm good at rapping because I did 100 hours.
You mean like 10,000 hours?
Oh yeah, 10,000 hours, my bad.
100 hours, everybody's like, damn, that's all it takes.
Yeah, but 10,000 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, I definitely did over 10,000 hours when it comes to rap.
Don't you think that's the case with anything? I think that's probably the case with everything. To get good at it, you got to really put in time.
So that's what we're talking about.
That's what
comedy.
We're talking about, yeah. So but I think you have a head start because I think some of your hours already count.
So
it's like you're transferring your education from a different school.
So me doing this podcast, I want to do the podcast, and then just hang around with someone at a time. Like, Tom, I look at, like, Tom is like, I look up to him as, like, you. Like, I look at y'all guys, like, in a total different light. And then y'all be like, oh, you can do this shit. You can do this shit. And be like, it scares me a little bit, man.
It's supposed to scare you.
Because I want to do it because.
You want to do it well.
And you got to look at it like this. Let's just say, being a rapper, I haven't had the most rap career. Like, I don't get Grammys. I don't sell records. Like, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, every album I put out has sold less records every time. And then you know why is that? Because what? I never, you know how they say, like, a person, like, if you don't change anything that you do, you, like, retarded. Like, you know, insane. Like, every album that I made is the same album. In some sense, but I'm just tinkering with what I thought was bad the last album and just trying to make a better album with every album. So I'm not going over means, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to beat what I did last time.
Right.
And I do it every time, which is great.
So what are you trying to say?
That's not enough.
That's not enough. Why is that?
In the world of rap music, what we're dealing with, you know, I gave you that whole theory of that.
I get the theory.
I'm the Patrice O'Neal of this rap shit.
Can you be independent as a rap artist now? Is it possible to not be involved in a record deal with a company?
Yeah, if you believe in yourself that much. But we need the money from the record companies to make us keep going.
So that's what the record companies are doing. They're providing the initial investment that gets you going. Yeah.
So, but at the end of the day, when they give you that initial investment, all they do is just tie you in. So let's put it like this. Okay, Danny Brown.
No one. I didn't have a record deal. I made all this shit off my own shit. Boom. Made one of the illest rap albums. I get all the craziest. Because my whole shit was about reviews. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
It's not what people say about when you go on Metacritic. And you see all the reviews add up. What that review add up? So my whole shit was about, long as I get a high score in Metacritic and, you know, whatever.
Right.
Just long as I get high, I don't have to sell records. Because 10 years, 20 years, whatever. A motherfucker can die and they want to Google what was the best reviewed albums in 2022. And they're going to see Danny Brown. You know what I'm saying? Shit like
right.
that. So my whole shit was that. And I did that. And I don't know. I forgot.
So were you saying that you're like, does it concern you the amount of time that you'd have to do stand up for to get good at it?
No.
Is it like?
No, I told you what. My whole point is I knew I have to bomb.
Right.
And I bombed.
A little bit.
I bombed so long with doing rap music.
Yeah, but I don't know if you have to bomb. You just have to figure it out. Like, I think you have a giant advantage.
But see, this thing is what it was, Joe. I thought about that, and I was like, man, yeah. No, I don't want to go through that. But then I thought about it in another world. I'm like, who else get this chance? Like, it's people
if
that...
If you think you can do it, you can do
no,
it.
No, but who else get this chance? Like, you can be a rapper. And a lot of times I think about me being a rapper. Is that just because the environment that I grew up in? Who says I was a rapper? I just literally lived in fucking the hood, and that was the coolest shit to do. I could do comedy then, but it wasn't a cool thing to push comedy for me at that.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? But everybody was cool with me being a rapper, so I just rap.
You think if there was comedy, if it was a cool thing to do comedy, you would do that?
Yes. 100%.
There you go.
100%. Because even it got to the point where I remember, you know, when your teacher asks you what you want to be when you grow up type shit.
Yeah.
And I would say a rap. I want to be a rapper. And the class would laugh at me. So it got to the point where I stopped saying I want to be a rapper. And I would say I want to be a stand-up comedian. And the class didn't laugh at me no more. But then the teacher would ask me to do stand-up comedian shit. And I didn't have. Because I remember one time, like, the teacher asked me, like, we had, like, a, you know, like, some type of, like, a holiday, like, you know, program we got to put on for this shit. You know, like, a Christmas program and shit.
Yeah.
And they, and I had, like a poetry thing that I was going to do and this shit. And I remember just reading this shit, and I was like, man, this shit whack. Like, I can rap. Like, I knew me to myself, like, reading the poems and shit. Like, I can rap. Like, I can make some ill shit way better than this. So instead of me, like, so when we would, and I had to do the poems, instead of me doing the actual poems I was supposed to do, I just started just doing random raps. And then the whole class, like, the school, everybody, like, they just went nuts. Like, oh, like, applauding for me and shit. And I was like, damn, you know, like, that's probably what I should be doing then. Like, I'd probably be a rapper. You know what I'm saying? So I just kept just rapping. Like, even that. Like, I was, I rapped the entire time. Like, I would go to school, like, being in, like, middle school, like, sixth grade or whatever the fuck. No one knew I rap. It'd be always one kid that'd pop up and try to, like, rap and, like, be a rapper. And he'd be like, ugh. And I'd just be, like, just sitting in a corner to myself, like, and this be, like, my time to shine. And I would fucking just body him. Every time. But from that one day, it would make me the most popular kid in school instantly.
Yeah.
Instantly. Literally happened, like, bro, every year in school. Like, I would literally shut up the whole year. One time some rapping came up, I bust a rap, and then the whole entire school looked at me different.
How many kids in your grade tried rapping?
Probably like 3 or 4 of us. Because I actually learned how to write a rap was from one of my, like, a kid, older, Kevin Willis. Shouts out Kevin Willis. He had all the hockey jerseys. Can you imagine that? And like, no, niggas, we don't watch hockey. But this nigga will show up, like on some, like, throwback shit. Like, he had all the ill hockey jerseys. But his brother rapped. And his brother used to rap in his notebook. And one day he showed me his notebook, and I saw the way the format of how he wrote rap. So like, and you want to hear the fucked up part about it? It's kind of like comedy, cause it's all about stand up. It's all about like set up, punchline, set up, punchline. You get what I'm saying? Like, you set up. So I learned that from that. That's why even when y'all talk about comedy, like I can do it. I just don't, you know. I'm just still. I'm just being a bitch ass nigga about it. Because I know I can do it.
It's like everything else, Danny Brown. Before you've done it, you get scared of it. And then you do it, and you realize, oh, maybe I can get better at this. And then you keep doing it. It's like everything else. You know, you can get paralysis by analysis.
No, the thing
you know
about
what I'm saying?
I'm doing it.
Okay, good.
I'm doing it. The only reason why I mean,
just make sure you time it out to 5 minutes.
I feel
don't go over, don't go less.
No,
just
no, I
want to
type
five.
I want to talk.
You can do it,
but no, only reason.
Structure.
I'm not saying only reason, but I don't think too many people get just lucky as me. And it's to me to fucking take care of the blessings and really appreciate them and go hard with. Because a rapper, bro, rapping is like literally selling dope.
It's like what?
Selling dope. You might get 5 years at max. Becoming a rapper? Like, how? I mean, how long you think it's going to be hot? You might got 5 years max. For me to fucking push my 5 years, because I was the hot rapper for 5 years, and I did that, and I was able to push it to start hanging with y'all niggas and do comedy shit. And then it kind of like pressed it here and there to where it wasn't like no dick riding shit, to where it looked like I was trying to like, you saw me learn into this situation of this, to where I got the fucking podcast with Time Up. So if you watch me as being like a Danny Brown fan, like you super watched my whole progression of this shit to get to here.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? So it's not like a big deal. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're like, oh, like the people that are like super fans of me, like they get the shit and they do it. They're like, oh, this is what he supposed to be doing. This nigga been like, bro, this nigga been fighting for this.
Yeah.
Oh, you get what I'm saying? So for me being here talking shit is like, bro, I'm supposed to be here doing this shit. The only thing I don't understand is just, because I think I love the writing aspect.
To what part?
In anything.
But what do you mean? What don't you understand about it? You said the only thing I don't understand, I like the writing aspect.
Because the shit you write don't necessarily mean you can go on stage and it could be funny.
Yeah, but it's an idea, and then you work it out on stage.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's what I learned.
But sometimes you don't. Sometimes you write
it
out.
No, that's what I learned. You have to go and just work it, and then that will turn into something else.
Sometimes.
That will turn into something else. And that
sometimes
turn...
you write something and it's good right away. It doesn't make any sense. Like it's just
so
like
you gotta see me.
Creativity is
I'm
very,
super green as fuck.
I'm sure you are.
Damn. I'm a motherfucker that's.
Damn,
only...
you don't have to explain this to me.
Oh yeah,
it's okay.
I'm green, but I'm only taking it serious because look, you Tom, like people that I really respect with this comedy shit, and they're like, no, you can do this shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, bro, like, I would be retarded not to try. Not to say retarded, I'm sorry.
It's okay, we've said that a bunch of times already.
I know. But and I hate to say that, but you know what? That's just like a normal slang.
Your
for
writing
me.
Thing is not much different than any other kind of writing. It's just expressing your thoughts and getting it down on print and just put it in on a computer. A lot of it is about the time spent thinking about the subjects. That when you're writing, you have to think about these subjects. Like a lot of people like to write in their head, which is great too. But when you write, when you're looking at a piece of paper or when you're looking at a screen and you're typing, now you're really thinking about it. And
bro,
it's extra time thinking about it.
Do you know how easy it is to write a rap? It's 4 punchlines. You understand what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So let's just say, if I come up with 4 punchlines, I told you.
Right.
So let's just say I'm hanging out. Any boom day, I just write, I hear punchlines. Your bitch suck my dick like a Klondike. Let's say if I had that line.
Right.
Your bitch suck my dick like a Klondike. I write 3 lines that come up with that, and then that's the 4th line because that's the big line. So, your bitch suck my dick like a Klondike. You get what I'm saying? That's common. If you think about it, so all I got to do is have these. All I gotta do is figure out 4 punchlines, and I have a verse. 16 bars a verse. So, you know what I'm saying? So, so I would come up with these four lines, write these punchlines. It don't matter what the song is to it. I will figure these out. And I'm going to figure it out. Now what we coming to realize is like, that's what stand-up comedy is.
Yeah.
So the entire time where I thought I was being a rapper and I was writing raps, I was lightweight writing. Because that's not, when I talk to other rappers and they don't write raps like that. They're like, nigga, are you retarded? No, they're like, nigga,
you
I just
writing stand-up. You were doing
so
stand-up rap.
I was doing stand-up the entire time and
that's
I didn't
hilarious.
Realize it.
That's
all
hilarious.
I wrote was punch. Even to, bro, I got up out the bed today. Like last night, if I hear a punchline, like just something that I think is funny to myself, and I'll be like, I gotta write that down. And last night it was, I was talking to them about it before the last podcast, was deviled eggs.
Deviled eggs?
Bro, that's the most, I get why they call deviled eggs deviled eggs. Now me, I'm a person that love eggs. I'm a, you gotta get your protein high if you can get it. But, all right, if we were talking about abortions and this and that. So these niggas are, I'm just saying, it's an egg.
It's not fertilized.
But they took you, they scrambled you up, then put you back into the mix, then fed you the niggas. This is like the most, like, gruesome shit you can do to anybody. It's a deviled egg, man. You gonna tell me, bro, if you take my shell, you take me, all my skin, and then you gonna take all this. Throw some mayonnaise and some.
But do you know the deviled eggs are eggs
back.
That are not fertilized? This is not like a logical premise because those eggs aren't fertilized. They could never become a chicken. A fertilized egg is an egg when the rooster fucks the hen, and then the egg could become a person. Egg is just a piece of protein. It's never going to be a living organism.
Joe, how does this change the situation?
Because you're talking about gruesomely turning
they're
up
dead.
What it means to be you.
It's a dead baby.
But it's
any
not.
Way it goes.
No. It's not a dead baby. It's zero potential to be a baby. It's never impregnated. When they lay eggs every day. I have chickens.
So eating deviled eggs.
They're building a chicken coop in my house right now.
Eating deviled eggs is not bad.
It's nothing. It's like free protein.
I hate you, man.
Sorry. Sorry. But that's what an egg is.
But can I get my bit?
The bit's not going to work. It's okay. It's okay. I get what you're going for. And if it really was you were eating babies, it makes sense. But most people know that that's not really what's going on.
All
right. You know what I mean? It's like one of them things where someone
but
has
see,
to.
That's why you need your ghostwriters.
Yes. Well, you need someone like to consult with. You know, sometimes you have some funny ideas and you don't realize that it's not logical. Sometimes it doesn't have to be logical. Maybe a lot of people don't know.
Yeah, no, you're right. Sometimes it don't have to be logical, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one I was thought was really funny.
Well, Danny Brown, we're going to work on some stuff then. We're going to go over some of your material. We're going to come up with a fucking game plan in 5 minutes tonight. You're going to go up there...
Don't tell me that, because I'm really serious about it.
Why would I not tell you that?
If I'm really, because...
Also, I'm serious about it.
No, because... I don't know, man. I think comedy is like a... Like I said, it's kind of gatekeepy. And the last thing they want to see is a nigga like me.
That's not true.
That
Listen,
was a rapper
if you're
come
funny,
out of nowhere.
If you're funny.
And get good at this shit and then blow and then be fire. Like, I don't think, like.
Danny, you can't think like this.
No, I don't care. I
but
don't
you're
give
saying
a fuck.
It over and over and over again. Like, who gives a fuck about
oh,
that?
Oh, because I've been through it.
But don't. Those gate. Whoever's gatekeeping comedy, they're not.
No, I've kind of been through it. Maybe that's
what most it is. Most comedians, if you're killing it, would be happy. They would laugh. They would think this is great. Danny Brown's fucking hilarious. So that's what we hope for.
I hope for that, too.
All right.
Because, I mean, I love making music, but...
you should be professionally Danny Brown. Do
whatever I would
the
love
fuck you
for,
want.
I would love to be able to make music without any thinking about making any money from it.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Or even
right.
doing comedy.
Yeah.
Like when I can get to the point in my life where, because that's where it's at now. You know?
Yeah.
Like I have to do shit.
Yeah.
To fucking support myself. And I wish I didn't have that.
Right. You wish you could just do whatever you enjoy and then make money off of it.
Ain't that everybody else? Yeah, so I can't sit around and act like it's not a big deal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Dan, I got to wrap this up. So let's close this
out.
Oh,
yeah. Thank you.
My pleasure. Tell everybody all your social media shit.
Oh, X Danny, X Brown X. That's on my Twitters and fucking Instagrams or whatever the fuck is that. Also, I have a writing a book. The book will be coming soon. Working on app. I sucks to be on fucking Joe Rogan and have nothing to sell. But right. That's the real shit. I guess, you know, shouts out, man. Joe, man, thank you for having me on here, man. It's fun, man.
Thanks for being on, brother. We're going to have fun tonight. Yeah. All right. My man. Danny
nigga,
Brown, ladies
I'm with
gentlemen.
You, nigga. Woo!
Bye, everybody.